our hands to heaven and give him all the praise. Lift your hands to Jesus. Give him all the praise. The King of glory, the Lord, strong, mighty, El Shaddai, King of kings, Adonai. Someone is giving God quality thanks tonight. Are you grateful enough to lift your hands and give him quality thanks?
Amen, 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 amen. Amen, 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 amen. Amen, 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 amen. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Amen.
So in my life, according to your faithfulness, let it be so in my life, according to your grace. One more time.
The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Amen. Amen, 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 amen. Amen, 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 amen. Amen, 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 amen.
Father, we want to thank you tonight because you are a good God. We call you faithful, we call you merciful, we call you powerful. You have been all this and more to us. And tonight we want to start by saying thank you. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because your compassions, they fail not. Thank you for gathering us again to bless us, to lift us, to heal us, to bring us deeper into the experience of the spirit life. And tonight we submit our spirits, we submit our minds, we submit our hearts and our all. We pray that under the influence of your word and under the influence of your spirit, you will give us very solid encounters tonight. In the name of Jesus. And tonight we declare that we will leave with manifold testimonies. Amen. That someone who came here crying will leave rejoicing. Amen. That someone who came here downcast will leave full of hope. Amen. That by the Spirit, someone who came here confused will indeed find direction finally. Amen. That someone who came here powerless and in all way natural will leave supernatural. Amen. Someone who came here full of ignorance will leave full of light. Amen. Someone who came here full of doubts and fear will leave full of faith and courage. Amen. May this be your portion tonight. Amen. And to Jesus be all the glory. Amen. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Please give Jesus a big hand clap. Hallelujah. Can you greet someone by your left and right, and then please be seated. Amen. I welcome you to his presence. This is Koinonia. May God give you an encounter that will change your life forever. In the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says they go from strength to strength, as many as appear in Zion before the Lord. It is our corporate destiny in Christ to keep going from glory to glory. Hallelujah. Once we appear before the Lord, there is a mandate upon us to go from glory to glory, and that will be your experience. You believe that, shout a believing amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Again, please help me honor our very own Reverend Yusuf Akila, all the way from House on the Rock. Just hallelujah. This is a house of honor, Koinonia. Amen. Even if he comes here 1,000 times, we'll honor him 1,000 times. Blessings to you, sir. Thank you. Hallelujah. I welcome you tonight in the name of Jesus. Okay, just a little announcement, very quick one, then we'll get to the word. Hallelujah. Still in response to the economic situation, you know, within our nation. And we thank God for all that the government is doing. And like I've always thought, the church is light. We are also salt. We are not given the ministry of complaining and grumbling and pointing fingers one to another. And we are not called to do everything, but we are called to do our best. And so we decided to set up a little palliative to encourage as many. Hallelujah. Now, all fingers are not equal. The church is a school, is a training ground. And I know that with what you are hearing, by God's grace, tomorrow many of you will feed nations. But God and us have not been given the ministry of magic. It is line upon line, precept upon precept. No matter how attentive you are, you will not become in one day. It takes a while. Are we together? And so our assignment is to reveal to you the picture of your future from the word. But whilst you are evolving into that glorious destiny, it is also our mandate to communicate the ministry of mercy and midwife your growth so that you are not discouraged. And so when we do the things that we do it expressing the love of Jesus. We're a very responsible ministry, and it would be unfair to deafen our ears to the cries of people. We also once cried, and when we did, God raised people as instruments of mercy who were there to support us so that we're not discouraged. And now that he has helped us, we must communicate the same ministry of mercy. Hallelujah. And so we decided to just do something to put together. We ordered some bags of rice. And I want to thank all who are part of the committee that set this up, you know, getting the bags of rice, you know, lots of bags of rice. It's not less than 120 or so. And those who now had to repackage it all through yesterday night, even into this morning, there's been people working tirelessly to put it together. And I want to say thank you to the departments and the committee that spent their time, some of them not having sleep or enough sleep, to put this together. Now, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40, that all things be done decently and in order. We're people of order. We're not just godly people. And now this will not go around to everybody. If it doesn't go around to you, be patient. When the next phase comes, I'm sure it will be your turn, so that we behave well in the house of God. Part of the things we're learning in the house of God is how to behave like royalty. Hallelujah. Royal people, like the Bible says, we are people of order. So let me just announce a slip has been passed to a few people, as many people have been sampled and sorted around. So all those who have those slips, they are the ones who benefit from this phase of the palliatives. It's already done. It's not something we're about to do. Praise God. So immediately after service, all those who have the slips, please, with every sense of order and decency, you find your place to hall 2. You don't know where hall 2 is, one of the overflows down. Please, protocol and security, you can do well to direct them. When you get in, you sit down in an orderly manner. those mandated will communicate, they will address you, and then in a very orderly manner, you have the opportunity to pick whatever it is that they've packaged for you. And what happens to one in this house happens to all. Hallelujah. That is the spirit of brotherhood. So what happens to one happens to all. And we thank God for the privilege to be able to do it. May not be able to serve everyone for now, but by God's grace, we hope that as God grants us grace, we'll do it as many times as will be needed to see how we can support our people. We shouldn't have people praying, shouting, and then at least for the sake of the children. We shouldn't have children. Adults can go and eat somewhere else and return back home and refire their faith. Hallelujah. But children should not be roaming around from house to house. That is a bad culture for them to learn. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the privilege to be able to do this. And we bless the palliatives that our dear people will be receiving after service. This is not for showmanship. This is not for politics. We do this from a standpoint of love. But we do this as a lesson to help believers evolve to become responsible Christians. That beyond praying in tongues and shouting hallelujah, we must be light and be salt indeed. I pray that this will inspire someone to do the same within their neighborhood, inspire someone to do the same as much and as far as your resources can allow. And as you commit to doing that, may the Lord bless you. In Jesus' name I pray. I believe in practical Christianity. For as long as our Christian experience ends in just praying in tongues and shouting, as spiritual as that is, we will only remain a nuisance to our world and to society. We must translate spirituality to a context that affects territory. First spiritually, then help their philosophy and their understanding, and then of course economically. The church is not a poor place. We'll be lying if we say the church is a poor place. We have heavenly resources, we also have economic resources. And from that which God has given, we must do well to support what the government is doing, to support what well-meaning citizens. We are not just Christians, we are citizens of our various nations, and we owe it to be sensitive and attentive to the realities of the time. And so this is what we are doing as our contribution to helping alleviate the pain. But more than just collecting palliatives, the real key is to settle down and listen. Palliatives can solve a temporal problem, but like Martha, if you settle down and receive the truth of Scripture, are we together? And then open up your heart to receive the engracing that comes with that truth. Someday your receiving palliatives will only be a story to inspire others. You will now, some of you will build barns, but not like the rich fool. The barns will be to bless nations. You believe that? Shout a loud amen. Amen. I believe that in a matter of months or a few years, there are people in this place who, as a single individual, will have the wealth of nations. Amen. I truly believe this with all my heart. Not just money without a mission that you can send to mission agencies. Take children out of the street. Stop women who are crying by the roadside because of irresponsible men who married them, and bring order and decadence to society. And also be able to help people who did not have the privilege. Some of them are not bad people. They are victims of their philosophies. They were not taught the nobility of a responsible life. Are we together? So the families that they lead it out of the sometimes the depravity of low-level thinking. So they are not necessarily bad. Their actions may be bad, but their motives are sincere. They just don't know better. This is why the church does not stop as a charity organization. We are primarily a spiritual platform that communicates truth that is based on Scripture, that is intended to, number one, connect people to Jesus, then connect people to the principles of the kingdom and release grace from that understanding that empowers them to live heavenly, meaningful lives of dominion and dignity. That looks like your life. Shout amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I thought very deeply this morning into the afternoon about God's faithfulness over my life and over our lives and over this ministry. And I thought to encourage us to start tonight by taking a minute or two to really say thank you. Now, you hear me repeat these things. God's servant will say, only those who can think, only thoughtful people can be grateful people. That if you can be thoughtful, you think about the things God has done to you, in you, through you, only gratitude will come out from within you. God has been good to us as individuals. He's been good to us as a ministry, marvelous manifestations of his hand. And while seated, I want us together as a global family to just say thank you, Jesus. Go ahead. Tell him thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate him for the miracles. We're not a careless ministry. Our hearts are open. Jesus, you have healed the sick. Thank you. Jesus, you have lifted people from their low levels and placed them. Someone who is grateful is saying thank you. Thank him for the testimonies in this house. Miracle children, miracle marriages, responsible men, responsible women, godly children, jobs, ministries that have come out from the things and the truths, the ability to mentor nations, to disciple nations. Someone say thank you. For the things you have done, for the battles you have won, only you are worthy of my praise. We magnify your name. For the things you have done, for the battles you have won, only you are worthy of my praise. I magnify your name. Thank you for the word that comes week in, week out, transforming our lives. Thank him for the capacity to be a blessing to the nations spiritually, in leadership, economically. Thank him for the many great men and women that God has raised from this house, through this house, by his hands. Thank him for your children, your spouse. Someone tell him thank you. Don't be tired. Thank you. Thank him for grace. Thank him for ease. Thank him for favor. Thank him for strategic relationships. Thank him for the anointing. Thank him for wisdom. Thank him for stamina. Thank him for courage. Thank you for the ministry of angels. Thank him for divine protection. Thank him for visibility, for preserving his honor upon our lives. For the things you have done, for the battles you have won, only you are worthy of my praise. Hallelujah. To God be the glory, and may he accept our thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Listen, do you know why many people do not experience the hand of God in their lives consistently? Among the many reasons, please lend me your attention, among the many reasons, it is that most believers take the faithfulness of God for granted. You know, when God brings you out of a place of pain, suffering, need, sometimes within a moment you forget the pain of yesterday, and we do not lay it to heart to say thank you. When God lifts you as a man of God, some of us, when you came here, you had no jobs. Some of us, when you came here, you had nothing. You had to trek your way here, discouraged with all kinds of causes, all kinds of manifestations. But look what he's producing out of your life. It's important that you learn to be grateful. Every time you take God for granted, he will not fight you, But the very state of ingratitude would authorize Satan to remind you of how you were before his mercy came. It's true. Ingratitude is a great doorway. You see, it brings back your past, the negative past, to become your present. There are people who have gone from grace to grass because of ingratitude. There are people who have gone from grace to grass because they've taken God for granted. Never get to a point where you feel, with or without God, I can still make it. There are preachers making that mistake. There are leaders making that mistake. There are parents making that mistake. There are millionaires and billionaires making that mistake. Money can deceive. Certificates can deceive. Anointing even can deceive. Influence can deceive. You must always remind yourself, like the apostle would say, I am what I am by the grace of God. I am what I am. Maybe this is a word for someone. You came to church but full of yourself, not with the humility you used to come with again. After all, you have some money in your account now. You have a house or some estates, wonderful, but he's charging you again. That whilst you are here, you must know that outside of his of God's mercy, great people can be reduced to ashes. It is only by the mercy of God that the weak become strong. It is only by the mercy of God that the poor become blessed. It is only by the mercy of God that the ignorant become full of knowledge. Learn this as a principle. Teach those in your organization, teach those within your influence, that every time you stand with abundance of any sort before you, learn humility. Let them ask you why you are still rolling while you are blessed. Then you remind them, like David said, I'm rolling and dancing before the Lord who took me from the wilderness and carried your father's kingdom and gave to me. Hallelujah. May a time never come where as a ministry we become full of ourselves and that we do not accord Jesus the glory that is due his name. We are not ashamed to let the nations know that we are all that we are and we are all that we have today. It's not just because of Joshua Selman. I have taught you there are times that your skill can be there, as important as it is. Your ability to fish can be there. You can be at the seaside, the correct place, having the correct tools, your boat, your net, your skill, and yet you will not catch fish. Hallelujah. And so, Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Let me remind us for the next 5 minutes as to why we are here. I felt stirred in my heart to still do this, to remind us. Paul said, I will not be negligent to bring you in remembrance of these things, although ye already know them and are established in this present truth. I put together about 5 or 6 points to help us again before we get to our teaching tonight very quickly. Number one, why are you here? Why are you always here? Why will you continue to be here? One, to encounter God. In order of priority, the first reason why he's drawn you to this house, to this place, whether here on site or connecting online, is to encounter God. Number two, why are you here? To access spiritual intelligence. Next time you come here on your way here, and even while you invite the many that you invite to be on their way, perhaps someone is connecting for the first time here on ground, many on, you know, online, it's important to remind you that you're connected and you are here to access spiritual intelligence, to understand the laws and the principles of the kingdom. Number three, why are you here? You are here to build your faith. You are here to build your faith. This is why we engage in prayer, building up ourselves in our most holy faith as we pray in the Spirit. This is why we worship. Hallelujah. Build our faith. There are different levels of faith. There is no faith. There is small or little faith. There is great faith. There is exceeding great faith. Our assignment is to help you by the word of God to transit through these various phases of faith. And I hope you know that the kind and the quality of faith that you have, meaning your conviction and your ability to respond to the word of God, determines the quality of your outcomes as far as your Christian experience is concerned. You are here to build your faith. Number four, why are you here? You are here to receive help, mercy, and strength. Write that down. The house of God is a place to receive help, to receive mercy, and strength. Tempted to give you two scriptures, Psalm 20 and verse 1. 20 and verse 1. Just to buttress on that point. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Verse 2. It says, send thee help. From where? His sanctuary, and strengthen thee out of Zion. And so you are here to receive help, to receive mercy, and to receive strength. Let's try Psalm 84 and verse 7. Psalm 84 and verse 7. They go from strength to strength. Everyone, how many of them? Shout it one more time, please. Every one of them in Zion who appears before the Lord. That means every time you appear before the Lord, there is a portion of strength. Strength that you receive. So you are here to access help. You are here to access mercy. You are here to access strength. Number five. Why are you here? Listen carefully now. You are here as part of your commitment towards kingdom advance. This is the fifth reason why you are here. This is the fifth reason why you come to the house of God. You are here as part of your commitment towards kingdom advance. When you participate in the prayers, when you participate in the worship, when you participate in giving, when you participate in the attendance, the gift of your presence and your attention, all of these are expressions of your commitment. Every time you come, every time you connect, what you are saying is that, Lord, I am interested in your program, and my attendance, my participation in worship, my participation in prayer, my participation through my giving. That means if you come to the house of God and whilst people are praying, you don't pray, you're not really participating. When you come to the house of God and people are worshiping, and you're there just lost, distracted, maybe punching your phones, doing some things that you should not be doing. You see, it is a message you are sending to heaven that I'm not interested in you nor your program. If you are here and people are giving, and you say, well, those who have money should give. Or perhaps you're not interested at all. Your worship, your prayer, your giving, and then your attention. Your attention. When the word of God comes, that is not the time to keep pinching yourself up and down. You will know immediately that is an attack. Hallelujah. You must sustain the discipline to endure sound doctrine. To settle down, hear the word of God. The same way a doctor ministers a medical prescription to a patient and tells the person, take these two in the morning, two in the afternoon, two in the night. Sometimes you are tired, you don't feel like taking it, but you remember that the doctor loves you and is interested in your being whole. And so you discipline yourself. The doctor will not be disciplined for you. He will prescribe the drug or the treatment. It is yours to follow, and if you follow as prescribed, you will see that you begin to enjoy health until you become perfected. I have taught us here, it is pride as a student to arbitrarily edit the things that you are being taught, especially when the people communicating it have proofs in that area. Now, men of God are not God. We make mistakes. We are people who are limited in knowledge. We are all growing. But with respect to the areas where there are results, it is foolish for people who do not have results to begin to edit when you have not produced results. When you produce results, you now are at a vantage position where you can now edit, perhaps maybe this is this way. But a student who comes into a lecture or a school for the first time, no. When you also become a PhD holder or a professor, then you can rub minds now as colleagues. And you can say, professor, even though you were a professor before me, have you considered this? My research has brought more addition to this, and it will now make sense. But there are many believers with no results who are quick to edit everything they hear. and is part of the reasons why many people remain stunted. May that be minus you in Jesus' name. The humility of heart to receive, the humility of heart to contend for light until you become. May God release that for you in Jesus' name. So you come to the house of God and you are here every week as part of your commitment towards kingdom advance. Can I give you two more? The number what now? The sixth reason why you are here is to fellowship with the saints. This is very important. You are not just here to encounter God alone. You can have that encounter in your room. You are not just here to encounter a man of God alone. You are here under this corporate anointing to fellowship with the saints. This is very powerful. The Bible encourages the fellowship of the saints. Kingdom relationships, kingdom connections are very important. Some of you, it's in coming to church, you will meet with your destiny helpers. It is in coming to church, you can even meet with your spouse. It's in coming to church, you can meet with someone who God can use to lift you. Hallelujah. I told you that when we're under the corporate anointing, the blessing is both vertical and horizontal. Coming from God through the man of God to you, but coming from God through the person seated around you to you. So you are receiving both ways. You may be listening to me right now, but you'll be amazed how many things God will teach you, not directly from me, but by someone. Maybe that sense of courtesy and honor, maybe your neighbor's raptness and attentiveness to the word, despite what you know that they know. That can be a message for you already and take away an arrival mentality. You see, so while God is speaking through the man of God, God is also speaking through your neighbor. The final reason why you are here, empowerment. You are here for empowerment, and that in ever increasing measures. You are here for empowerment. Empowerment to supply the spiritual wherewithal that helps you to become, that helps you to advance. You are here for empowerment. I remind you of this thing so that every time you come, it does not become a ritual. There is no blessing when you just come religiously. You come and share the grace and not become. Everything that makes for every single koinonia service is tailor-made in the place of prayer, consecration, diligence, discipline to deliver maximally for the purpose of your spiritual growth. Hallelujah. Are we together? Are you ready for tonight now? Please lay your hands on your head. Father, speak to me. My heart is open to hear you. My destiny is open to rise. Clarity of understanding. Please play the strings for me. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We bless you. Are you praying? Ask the Lord to visit you today. Someone is praying. This is the least level I will be at. After this service, I'm rising to a higher pedestal spiritually. For in Jesus' name we pray. Manifesting spiritual realities. Manifesting spiritual realities. You will be marvelously blessed tonight. I want to show you a very powerful secret in the spirit. Manifesting spiritual realities. The Bible is very clear as to the fact that there is a spirit realm and there is a physical realm. I'm teaching now. Please lend me your attention. The Bible does not leave us in the dark as to the fact that there are various dimensions that man has the privilege of interacting with. And chiefest among them is the realm of the spirit, or what we know from our earth standpoint to be the invisible realm, and then the physical realm or the material realm that we call the visible realm. Hallelujah. This is very important. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, please. Man has the privilege and the liberty of interacting with this realm. We have the advantage of the duality of realms. Romans 1 and verse 20 says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that we are without excuse. So he's saying that the things that are manifest are a testimony to the fact that there is a realm that birthed them, that everything physical, everything material is a testament that there is another kind of reality beyond the material realm. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. Very profound statement that Paul made to the church in Colossae. It says, for by him were all things created. Let's read together. That are in heaven. You see that now? And that are in earth. Visible and invisible. One more time. Visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones. That means there are visible thrones, but there are invisible thrones. There are visible dominions. There are visible principalities. There are visible powers, but there are also invisible dimensions. That everything in the physical has its parallel in the realm of the spirit. Visible and invisible. Are we learning now? This is very important. Last scripture, Matthew chapter 3. 16 to 17. This is Jesus now. Jesus is in the physical realm, having become flesh. The Bible says when Jesus was baptized, they had an experience they had never had. The people there, not just Jesus. The Bible says straightway he came out of a physical water and the heavens were open and he saw the Spirit of God, not just descending from the sky, descending from that invisible realm that opened through the atmosphere. The Bible says they saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. Verse 17. And a voice. The voice did not speak from a radio station. The voice was not one of the people there. An invisible voice. But then it echoed through a visible realm and the people heard it. This is my beloved son. Meaning that the voice spoke a language that their minds could understand. In whom I am well pleased. So it is clear that there is a spirit realm. And there is an invisible, a physical realm. Listen, as simple as this sounds, you will never be able to manifest realities, and that includes your destiny. If all you see and all you know is this three-dimensional realm, you are already disadvantaged for life. The consciousness, the awareness that there is a dimension, are we together? Above and beyond this physical realm already puts you at a vantage position. It is on this one reality that whether you serve Satan or serve God, if you are to excel in your spirituality, there is a mandate upon you that you must believe the existence of the realm of the spirit and the supremacy of the realm of the spirit. That means its ability to superimpose upon the physical realm. This is powerful. It is the reason why we are not discouraged when we see physical things, because of the awareness that there is a reality in the spirit that is higher and greater than what we see. Are we together? So you can see someone who has been plagued by sickness, and you know that there are resources in the realm of the spirit that can be made available to that individual under a certain condition. My God, this is why you can see someone who is poor, dejected, and you come with that understanding that all that this man has is not all he can have. There are resources beyond the physical realm. The second thought that you need to know tonight is that realities are only made manifest. Realities are only made manifest when we learn how to transport these realities from the realm of the spirit to the physical realm. I'll take it again. Realities are only made manifest when we learn how to transport those realities from the realm of the spirit to the physical realm. That means those realities and those resources, whatever they are, they will do us no good provided they remain in the realm of the spirit. Are we together? We need to learn the spiritual technology that can translate those resources from the realm of the spirit to be made manifest. Someone tonight, you are hearing the real cure for poverty. You are hearing the real cure for all kinds of satanic oppression. You are hearing the real cure for manifesting your destiny. There are realities in the realm of the spirit. There are resources in the realm of the spirit beyond the imagination of the average person, beyond the imagination even of the saints. Our assignment is number one, to agree that they are there. Number two, to learn how to transport those realities. And this is my assignment tonight. Hallelujah. Watch this. How many of you know that once upon a time, and even until now, there are treasures beneath the earth where you are seated now? Only God knows how many treasures. Not even science can comprehensively exhaust the treasures and the mineral resources that are under the earth. Science is still learning. Are we together now? And there are resources under the earth. Now, whether you are aware or not, those resources are there. But whether they will become to your advantage has to do with your discovering their presence and knowing how to mine them from the earth. Are we together now? You can have a farm full of gold or diamond or iron ore or whatever it is, and you can run around with that awareness. That awareness will not prosper you. Even though it's an advantage, you can tell everybody, I have a plot of land or a hectare of land, and I promise you I'm not lying. That land has within it gold, has within it diamond, has within it iron ore. In fact, you can even get a few people to help you test, and they can say it's true. And yet you can remain dejected, you can remain poor and miserable, because you must have the resources. Say resources. The intelligence to be able to mine it out. It says, counsel is like deep waters, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Somebody is finding his way out finally. John chapter 1 and verse 14. The word became flesh. This scripture has inspired me for years. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Who are the us? Physical people. The word domiciled in the invisible realm through some technology found its way to have a material expression. And the Bible says we beheld. So it was not just a vision. When Jesus, as the word, became Jesus, the child, the baby, he was seen of men. He was seen of angels. You didn't need to be prophetic to see him. Once you were alive, you could see the baby wrapped up in a manger. They saw him as a teenager. They saw him when he grew to become an adult. Invisible things can become visible. Invisible resources can be transported to become a system of advantage to the believer. And I'm praying for you. Everything God has placed in the realm of the spirit that is needed for your destiny actualization, but through ignorance it's been waiting there for years, may you sustain the intelligence to make it manifest in the name of Jesus Christ. Sit down, please. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3. Let's read NIV or the Message translation. The Bible says, through faith. Can we have any? Okay. It says, by faith we understand. Watch this. That the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Can we have the Message? Is that possible? MSG. It says, by faith we see the world called into existence by God's word. What we see created by what we do not see. What we do not see is what created what we see. Did you get that now? What we do not see, the invisible realm, is what created this realm. This thing you call anointing, do you see it? Show me anointing. Are you going to lift a bottle of
olive oil and show me, is that anointing? Does a tree produce anointing? No. The anointing can only be trapped in a material vessel like a mantle or whatever. But where is that anointing? When the Bible says God anointed Solomon, where did it come from? Can you show me the remains of what fell on him? Yet you could not deny the effect. It fell on a physical man. He grew up and demonstrated intelligence. Are we together now? The things which appear, the crowds which appear, the resources which appear, the influence which appear, they are only a manifestation of realities that are available. Are we together now? And that if you know how to transport those realities, then you will live an invincible life of dominion even in your world today. When you lay hands on a sick person, you are not rubbing anything on your hands. What flows through you to that sick person? When you stretch your hands towards someone and he receives an impartation, where is the connection? What actually flows? From where? Invisible resources. But their reality can be proven in this realm, here and now. When you speak to men and say, in the name of Jesus, may God open the door. Can you show me the words? Where are the words? Can you hold it? So why do you lift your hands to say, I receive? What are you receiving? Did you feel anything when you received? Yet you believe something rested on you. And you go out carrying that consciousness. And you return back rejoicing, knowing sometimes the impact is so dramatic that even your physical stature cannot hold the weight of what rests on you. Yes, it is invisible. These are transactions happening. Listen, they are spiritual transactions. You cannot see it. And yet your body attests to the fact that something is happening. How about the fire you feel? How about the warmth, the movement of the anointing in your body while the word is coming? Burning within your spirit like it did to the men at Emmaus. What is responsible for it? You think it's just sounds? Can a speaker make you that convicted? Can a mic make you that convicted? I'm just telling you that there are realities. You are here seated now. All you see is not all that is happening. If I ask you, describe all that is happening, you will say, I am listening to a man preaching. That is almost 1/100. There are many things happening. God is removing things. God is returning things. The Spirit of God is walking through angelic ministries, working on the minds of people, just because you cannot see it. Are we together? As these words are coming, listen, the Lord is spreading these words by His Spirit to people so that what is leaving me is not the same thing resting on you. There are things being added on that rest on others. That is why you will be hearing different things even though it's the same person communicating. The realm of the Spirit, the wealth of resources. So when God speaks to you, He speaks with the consciousness of the vast resources that are available to back you, whether you are aware of it or not. See that now. Now, if I ask you a question, assuming you are a multi-millionaire, and I ask you, are you a millionaire? You say yes. If I say, where is the money? You say it's in the bank. Which bank and where is it? You are as confident, yet the money is not with you. But you are confident that I know that I have 1 million naira or $1 million or whatever in the bank. You can beat your chest and say, I know I am a rich man. And have no pressure to prove it at all. You may put your hands in your pocket and bring out nothing. And yet nobody can dare tell you you are poor. So why do believers walk as though they are helpless? Simply because you touched your pocket and there was nothing physical there. Or your physical phone showed you 00 naira. and you use that to describe yourself, and heaven is saying, you are wasting potentials here. You do not understand the vast resources. So God helps you by coming to your dream life and showing you certain things are available. You wake up and say, it's a lie. God is joking with me. Everything you see manifest in the life of the believer comes from somewhere. I want you to pay attention. I'm stimulating your creativity because the keys that I'm about to show you now, it will change your life forever. I tell you. Some of you will leave this place without any car, without anything, and yet you'll be jumping like a madman after this service, because you will know that you have learned something. You have closed a door that Satan uses to discourage you and lie to you. Apostle, where are the members? They are first in the realm of the spirit. You are not able to see them there. That's why you will never see them physically. Where is the house? Where is the level in the spirit? Let me tell you the truth. Anything that ever manifests is because it found its parallel in the spirit. If it cannot find it there, it cannot be made manifest, including trouble. All kinds of troubles have their spiritual form. They can be pulled down from the realm of the spirit by the manipulation of spiritual laws, courtesy demons, and be made manifest. So men are manipulated mentally to act in a certain way that allows those laws to work against you. You call it tragedy. You call it all kinds of things. But there is an intelligent explanation to those things. Walk with me now. There are two major challenges I wrote here with believers. And I want you to listen, please. As far as manifesting spiritual realities are concerned, there are two major challenges with believers. Number one, ignorance of the provisions. Write, please. I'll be slow enough for you to write. I need you to write this. Ignorance of the provisions and resources available to the believer in Christ. This is the first major challenge. Ignorance of the provisions. Ignorance of the resources available to the believer in Christ. This is the first challenge with believers. Ignorance of the provisions. Ignorance of the resources available to the believer in Christ. Two quick scriptures. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. The first major challenge with believers, as far as manifesting spiritual realities is concerned, is we are largely ignorant that there are even provisions and resources beyond this realm. Real provisions available as a system of advantage to the believer. Here's what the Bible says. According as his divine power hath given unto us, how many things? All things that pertain unto life and the things that pertain unto godliness. All things that pertain unto life and all things that pertain unto godliness have been given unto us. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Please shout it after me. Say, all spiritual blessings. All spiritual. One more time in concert. Say, all spiritual blessings. All spiritual. So this is what Paul says has been given to us. That he's given to us all spiritual blessings. Another way to put it is all blessings. But they are spiritual in nature. Are we together? The first challenge is the challenge of ignorance of the provisions and the resources that are available to the believer in Christ. What is the second challenge? The second challenge is ignorance on how to convert those provisions to their material expressions. How to convert ignorance on how to convert those spiritual provisions to their material expressions for the profiting of the believer. I'll take it again. The second major challenge with believers is ignorance on how to convert the spiritual resources, the spiritual provisions that are available for us in Christ, how to convert them to their material expressions for the profiting of the believer. Jesus put it powerfully in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10. Matthew 6 and verse 10. He says, thy kingdom come. That invisible influence of your government, let it come by your will being done in this physical realm as it is in the immaterial realm. That means let realities be made manifest in this realm the same way it is in the realm of the spirit. Ignorance on how to convert these spiritual realities, to translate them from just being spiritual resources. Listen, how many of you know that science and technology, as we call it today, is an attempt to show us that realities can be transported? Isn't it amazing that you can dig down to the earth, ladies and gentlemen, mine minerals that don't make sense, mine oil, a dark smelly paste of accumulation of all kinds of decompositions over many years, and put them together and now begin to pass them through various processes. Out of those minerals will come your phone. Out of that oil will come the gas that powers your generator, powers your car, and whatever it is. So conversion is a possibility. Profiting does not happen at the point of discovery. Profiting happens at the point of conversion. Are we learning now? If I gave you one jerrycan of a dark smelly substance called oil, it may not profit you so much until you go and pass it through a process that now distills everything, and you can now get your fuel, as we call it, your gas, and get other things, byproducts from it. Many believers, number one, do not even know the provisions and the resources that are available, and for those who know, it just stops at knowing. Do you know healing is yours? Yes. Do you know abundance is yours? Yes. Do you know increase is yours? Yes. Do you know restoration is yours? Yes. Have you experienced it? No. Why? The problem is the knowledge of the technology that converts those realities. Man of God, you need to hear this. If not, you'll be frustrated in ministry. Businessman, you need to hear this. If not, you'll be frustrated. When you go to the place where they make cars, all you are going to see is an architectural design, a 3D representation of that car, and all the metallic resources that will put that car together. But you step out and give the people a few days, a few months, and you will come back and find a real car that you can enter and drive a real car. It was not a car they found under the earth. They found metals, but they were able to combine it in a way that produced cars now with such beauty and elegance. Imagine what can happen to your life when you know how to convert these spiritual resources. Your life will become a wonder, first to you and any other person who cares to see. And may that be your testimony. By this revelation, let ashes and shame and everything that has mocked God, let it fade out of your life and destiny. In the name of Jesus Christ. Some of you will rise from this understanding and build mighty ministries for Jesus. Mighty evangelical platforms for Jesus. Mighty businesses with transcontinental value based on the things you are receiving. It's true. It's true.
It's the realm of your glory. It's the realm of your grace. I can see your mighty power moving in this place. It's the realm of your glory. It's the realm of your grace. I can see your mighty power moving in this place. We're in the presence of angels with God's glory on their wings. And like the voice of many waters, I can hear the angels sing. You are holy. You are holy. You are holy. Holy. Ta-da-da. 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 Alibasabarondashiata. Ta-da-da. Ta-da-da.
So the ability to not only know that there are spiritual resources in a dimension that is greater than science, a dimension greater than the three-dimensional realm, and the ability to interact with that realm with such mastery that you can convert and bring to your domain all the resources that are available and needed for your profiting. The ability to convert these spiritual resources to their material expressions for the profiting of the saints. Now, let me give you the keys. There are a few keys that help men to transport spiritual realities of any kind and any sort according to the will of God and to give it material expression. And I please want you to believe the things you are about to hear, because they will work for you in the name of Jesus Christ. This is how great businesses in the kingdom have been built. This is how great visions in the kingdom have been built. This is how great enviable destinies. If you have ever looked at a destiny and wondered, how did they do this? I want to show you how it happened right now. And I assure you by God, it doesn't matter where you are in life and destiny. If you pay attention, the things I'm sharing with you have a grace following them. It is not only the information you are going to receive. Some of you, whilst you are hearing, like I taught you, there is the Spirit of God will be quickening you. Something, there is an enlargement that will be happening to your spirit, like a rubber ring. Something will be, there will be a stretching in the spirit until greater glory. Glory in a greater measure is revealed through your life. In the name of Jesus. Key number one. Manifesting spiritual realities. What is the first key that controls birthing, transporting, and bringing spiritual resources from the realm of the spirit where they are domiciled to the physical realm where they are needed for the profiting of the saints? Number one, the first key, contend. All kingdom resources, I must say this as a preamble, all kingdom resources are first spiritual. That's not the first key, just a preamble to the first key. All kingdom resources, write this down please, they are first spiritual. That means they are realities that reside first in the realm of the spirit. Your prosperity, your influence, the anointing of the spirit upon your life, everything that God has said is a reality in the spirit. All kingdom resources are first spiritual. They are realities that reside in the spirit realm. Now let me give you the keys. Number one, what is the first key when you want to transport realities to be made manifest? Contend for light. Contend for light. This is the first key. Light here means knowledge. Knowledge of the resources that are available for you in Christ. You cannot open up your heart to receive resources whose availability and presence you are not even aware of. Hallelujah. If I do a transfer to your account and you do not get an alert, an email, or any other way of knowing, did you know, say perhaps it were your house rent that I sent to you, 1 million naira or 2 million naira or 3 million naira, And you can be seated and praying, saying, God, can you help me? I'm in trouble. My rent is expired. The landlord is coming for me. Maybe they are serving me a court summon because I'm unable to pay my rent. Whereas 2 days ago, 3 days ago, a real transfer was made to your bank. Are we together? And literally, in a matter of seconds, less than a minute, you can make that transfer from your phone and find peace. Yet, because you do not know, you can be lamenting, whereas your banker knows that you have you have some money there. This is how it is with many believers. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness and all the foundations of the earth are out of course. Imagine the many things that God has kept for you that you do not know. Strategic relationships, but first in the spirit. Strategic help, but first in the spirit. Men and women raised by God to help you while you serve him, but that reality is still in the spirit. Advancement, restoration. These are all possibilities and realities, but that they are locked up. They reside in the spirit. Everything needed for your excelling as a believer is already provided for. This is a fact you have to train your spirit man and your mind to believe. All things. The Bible says all things are yours. Contend for light. Contend for knowledge. This is why you came to church. Now you are hearing. Apostle, are you saying that the cure for my rent issue is already in the spirit? Yes, sir. Are you saying that I can walk free of this sickness? That the provision, the spiritual resources that can translate to a new body part, the spiritual resources that can translate to health, they are not coming. They are already a reality there. Every ₦1, $1 you will ever have and make in this life, the reality of those resources are already in the realm of the spirit. Believe me. Do you believe this? Contend for light. Light beyond the realm of ignorance. Convince yourself by the Spirit of God. The entrance of His Word brings light. What you are hearing now is giving you confidence. Is killing away carnality. So Satan will tell you, if it is true, where is the anointing man of God? Prove that you are anointed by laying hands on someone. Nothing happens. Don't worry. The problem is not the presence of that reality or the falsehood of what you believe. No, what you believe is the truth. It's just that you have not mastered how to convert it, how to make it a reality. Hallelujah. Contend for light. Let's hurry up. Number two. What is the second key? I want to dwell a bit on this second key because it is a miracle that changed my life. My God, it's easy for the average believer who has been in church to understand point one, light. Every gathering in God's presence with God's people, with a good teaching priest, is a feast of light. But the reason why light does not profit many believers is because of the second point. Write this down. The second key to manifesting spiritual realities, I wrote here, press into the realm of consciousness and conviction. You just write it and I'll explain to you. Press into the realm of consciousness and conviction. Press into the realm of consciousness and conviction. Psalm 36 verse 9. For with thee is the fountain of life. Read the remaining line, please. In thy light. One more time. There are two things the Bible is saying here. Number one is you need his light. But when his light arrives, that is not all you need. There is a kind of light you must see through his light. In your light, I have seen your light, but there is a light I need to see. In the midst of your light, he says, in your light shall we see light. Press into the realm of consciousness. and conviction. Now watch this. The word conscious means to be aware of and to have the ability to respond to. When they say you are conscious towards something, it means that number one, you are aware of that thing or that environment, and that you have the ability to respond. To be conscious means to be awake unto, or to be awake towards. So when you are sleeping, they call you unconscious with respect to that realm. Do you know why? Because even though you are alive, your consciousness is not there. You are sleeping. So two people can be discussing within the room, and although you are there, you may not hear what they are saying because you are asleep. When they wake you and give you a few minutes to get yourself together, now you are conscious of the environment. And what is the proof that you are conscious? You can respond intelligently. If I ask you, how are you? Or where did you keep the key? You can answer me. You may not be able to give me that answer while you are asleep, and yet you are not dead. Are we together now? So when we talk about being conscious, it means being alive unto a reality. And let me tell you the truth. Until you rise to a realm beyond just light, the realm of consciousness and conviction, you will never, never have those realities manifest. This is the assignment of a mystery in the spirit called meditation. Write it down, please. The assignment of meditation is to transport spiritual realities beyond the book, beyond the message, into your spirit, into your consciousness. The mystery that controls that transportation is called meditation. The second key, press into the realm of consciousness and conviction. To be conscious means to be aware of. Now watch this. I wrote something down here. You are conscious of a thing when it dominates your thoughts. Did you hear that? You are only conscious of a thing when it has gained dominance over your thoughts. That means your thinking has been influenced by that reality. Now it has come to a realm of consciousness. Look up, please. How many of you have gone to any embassy whatsoever? Don't lift your hands. Maybe to go and apply for a visa. American embassy, UK embassy. You know how you think about it all through the night? You've thought about it. If for any reason you wake up, what is on your mind? You are imagining, I'm standing before the consular now. This dress I'm wearing, no, I'll change it. I don't want trouble. I need to get this visa. You see how your whole day, some of you, it affects your mood. You are not able to eat till you return. And it's not like it's a doctor that said you should not eat. You are just thinking. That thing has happened as a result of meditation. You literally see yourself. You've never been to the embassy, say. You don't even know how it looks like. Yet your mind is so powerful, your mind will simulate a consular officer standing there and yourself answering all kinds of questions. That is how you are into that project. Let me tell you the truth. Those who build anything great are not just those who have wishful thinking. They have become immersed into the thing that drives them. The Bible calls it the zeal of the Lord. That the zeal of the Lord can consume a man. Are we together? To a point where what dominates your thoughts is the reality of that truth according to scripture. All through while Jesus walked upon the earth, he kept talking about the purpose for which he came. He kept talking about the fact that he was going to die. He will be buried. What kind of a man keeps talking about his death? You will call it negative confession. It was not negative confession. Jesus kept repeating, I'm going to die, oh, and I will come back to life again. To the point that Peter rebuked him and said, stop saying all these things. The reason why many people cannot become and they cannot manifest realities is that they have not taken the truths of scripture and meditated upon it until it moved past the realm of just information and sunk into your spirit. Something happens to a man when the word of God becomes spirit and life. It occupies your consciousness. You cannot be separated from that truth again. You have so believed it, you have become one with it. Are we together now? Yes. This is very powerful. You have become one with that belief. You can't deny it again. You can't betray it again. The way you know that light has not entered your consciousness is that the moment it does not work, you are in a hurry to divorce it because you never truly believed it. Hallelujah. So if, for instance, someone is a giver and you just hear one message against giving, you say, thank God, I've been looking. You never believed in giving. Never. 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 Consciousness. When you get to that point, the day you meditate on your being anointed, one day, as you are opening the scripture, light, it will no longer be, thou anointest my head with oil. That is stories. A day will come, something will leap upon you. And whether you are sleeping, whether you are wearing a pajamas or on jean or on suit, the consciousness, not just by shouting and saying, I'm anointed, is a settled reality. Let me tell you with all humility, I sat down with this book, and as I meditated upon it, it didn't happen every day, but one day, certain things just entered my spirit. So this is how much power the believer can carry. It says, you shall be exalted above all the nations of the earth. When I saw it, I don't know if I believed it the first time. I was just sincerely reading the Bible. But one day light entered me. The true spirit of dominion. That there is no territory that sustains the power to fight your influence. If you have not carried the consciousness of certain things, you will only be a victim. Your mind will be swinging from left to right. One day I meditated on the scripture that says, whatsoever he doeth prospers. Now let me tell you, that looks like a simple story. Oh yes, whatsoever he doeth prospers. Amen. That, no, you have not gotten it. You act on that thing, it will never work for you. He shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of waters. One day is by 2 a.m. in the morning. This is you. Shamakaparakatabariata. You are meditating on that thing. Whatsoever he doeth prospers. You look at your hands. Whatsoever he doeth prospers. Whatsoever he doeth prospers. It will make sense to you in a way that will annoy somebody close to you because they don't know what has entered you. Whatsoever he doeth prospers. From that day, you will never fail in anything again because it has entered your consciousness. This is what it means in Ezekiel 2 and verse 2. And the spirit entered into me. The spirit of any revelation, if it has not entered you, you will keep gyrating. This is the problem with the body of Christ. We shout over revelations that have not moved past the realm of knowledge into your consciousness. In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. I meditated on that scripture and I came to a conclusion that I cannot be a curse to my world. In thee shall the families of the earth be blessed. Where I come from, notwithstanding, is a blessing that God gave to Abraham and his seed. And Galatians 3:29 says, and if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So he's talking about me. I am a blessing. If I come to your house, I am a blessing. Some things must leave and some things must come. If I shake hands with you, it's not pride. Some things must leave and some things must come. If you listen to me, some things must leave and some things must come. It's a consciousness. It's not about empty boasting. You can be shouting and the realm of the spirit will say, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are you? This is what great men like Bishop Oyedepo meditated upon. And he said, God told him, he canceled his ministrations. And he said, get down and make my people rich. Now, that may, a lot of people find it offensive. That's why he didn't say it to everybody. He said it to the one who can believe him. Hallelujah. This is what I believe, oh. This reading things randomly, when the spirit of revelation comes to you, you can stay on one scripture for 1 week. It's not a competition to finish the Bible. It's that one scripture that has a treasure that defines the next 10 years of your life. You stay there till the spirit of that word. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He never said, I shall not want money. If all you are thinking about is money, it's a sign that you are thinking carnally. I shall not want. This is the realm of sufficiency. I shall not want men. I shall not want things. I shall not want influence. No, this revelation damages insufficiency forever. Never will you be without help. If God sends you to America, you shall not want. If he sends you to Europe, you shall not want. If he brings you to Abuja, you shall not want. You are crying simply because you do not know. You are wanting, even though you are reading the scripture, it is not yet in your consciousness. Take it higher for me. We will pray until we are changed. We will pray until we are changed. We will pray until we are changed. We are changed. We are changed. We will stay until we are changed. Stay until we are changed. We will stay until we are changed. We will stay until we are changed. Until we are changed. Until we are changed. Listen, can I tell you the truth? There is nothing you can do with a man that has caught light beyond the book. If it has entered that realm of consciousness, only death can stop it from happening. It's a realm where it is settled. No matter what you say or do not say, as far as that result happening, it's a realm. Listen, this is a reality that both science and religion tell you that controls manifestation. The realm of consciousness. Listen, let me tell you the truth. Still take it higher for me. There are things I believe I can never be a victim of till Jesus comes. And this is not empty talk. I have stayed with scripture until that thing, one of it is that I can never lack the help of men. No. It's not because I'm anointed. It's the revelation that brought that anointing. This thing you see, this grace called favor that you are shouting, you read it, you will never get it. That's not how it works. We will stay until we are found. 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 We will stay. When God called me into ministry, I took time to pray. One of the things I covenanted with God with was that I did not want to manipulate God's people because of this money thing. I saw sincere, well-meaning people who love the Lord. But once you are pushed by the pressure of ministry, you would do things you never planned doing. But I know that I have to eat. And the implication of ministry is that you will feed many people. You will be like Father Abraham, having many children, your own and the ones that have forced themselves to be your own. And I said, God, I don't want to tell people lies. I had great men like Bishop Oyedepo, great men like my dear revered mentor, Dr. Miles Munro. They talked about the potency of walking in the blessings of God. While others were there arguing in pride with no result, I said, God, you can't be lying. Please show me. I confess my ignorance. I have read this thing, but it's not working. There are human beings in the world, but nobody's looking my direction. I don't need to go to a herbalist. There is a way. Hi. Job said there is a path which no fowl has seen, that the whelps of the lion has not gotten there. When I caught that revelation of I shall not want, I said, this is it. And God is able to make all grace. If you think what prospers men is business, get ready to suffer till Jesus comes. Now, I'm not against those things. Don't get me wrong. But first things first, the realm of the spirit is what controls the physical realm. But when you hold it there, bah, that's it. You've held it. You've held it. It's true. The same thing with the ministry of the spirit, the anointing. I saw great people that I admired walking in dimensions of the anointing. And I said, there has to be a way. I got all the teachings and the materials. I don't want to do a ministry speaking to people and they're shouting amen, coming week after week, making sacrifices, and then they don't testify. That is evil and is wicked. In fact, it's fraud. I said, I don't want that kind of thing. Father, show me the secret to real power. Real, genuine power. I have found David, my servant. Ah. So God can find men, but until he finds his servant, he will not anoint you. God can find Joshua Selman, but he's looking for his servant. For as long as you are still Joshua Selman, that oil will not come to your head until you become his servant. The anointing is not for men of God. The anointing is for servants. Genuine people who love Jesus beyond their reputation, who want to see him glorified. You see, you know why sometimes you hear me tell these guys to play these things? It's not a movie. One day, I was meditating on scripture, and the Lord took me to the story of Elisha. He said, bring me a minstrel. And while the minstrel played, he said, the hand of the Lord came upon him, and he began to prophesy. Then he says, I will reveal my dark sayings upon the harp. It may not work for everyone, but that is how light came to me. I valued divine presence. When I meditated on the scripture, Moses said, do not send us from here if your presence... I'm showing you how to manifest realities. What provided what you are doing is just reading the Bible to ease the guilt of feeling less spiritual, you will never, never produce anything potent. He said, if your presence will not go with us. And then here's what he said. He said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. I said, that's the key to rest. The presence of God. I remember in 2005, I spent a major part of that year doing a research on Jewish worship and the mystery of God's presence. I wanted to know what was it about Jewish worship and God's presence. That's when you saw that I started falling in love with all these kind of Paul Wilbur songs. King of Kings, we hail you most high. All these songs that came laid down by the Spirit. Because I found out that there was a connection to these kinds of songs and the Spirit of God and the Shekinah of God. Listen, you must move past the realm of just reading scripture and get it to your consciousness. It will take time, but allow the Spirit of God move it. Stay in your one room and read the scripture on how God brings men out. The day it enters your spirit, you will know. The devil will know. Everything around you will know. And like a magnet, it will start drawing from anywhere on earth. The men and the circumstances that must make that word become reality in your life. I assure you on this. Listen, hear me. The day the power to prosper through meditation comes on you, right where you are, you know how explosions happen. A nuclear bomb, that's how it will, from your place, it's like an explosion in your spirit. It will gravitate everything that must make that revelation true in your life, and it will bring it to your life. It is true. Sometimes it's difficult to teach these things because people mistaken it for pride. But by the privilege of God's grace, you see, we have proven these things and will prove it again and again and again. Your consciousness. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. It doesn't stop there, but that is the springboard. The Lord, not my ability, the Lord. Here's how many of us interpret it. My brain is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord, the journey to lasting wealth starts with the Lord. It does not ignore your mind. It does not ignore your value, but it is the Lord, because he must be Alpha and Omega. Are we together? Sit down. Let me give you the third. For someone, let me give you a little assignment. Just lay your hand gently on your head. I want you to think of one scripture by the Spirit that you know. There are many scattered in the Bible, but one bailout scripture that you need to meditate upon until light enters your spirit. For some of you, is thou anointest my head, thou anointest my ministry. Are you seeing that ministry anointed, rising from where it is? Are you seeing yourself rising as a father of nations? You may not be physically called Abraham, but ladies and gentlemen, when what God told Abraham enters you, nothing will keep you down. You just do what I'm asking you to do, and you see a miracle that is happening to your spirit, man. You're a businessman. Take away your mind from your brain and look unto Jesus. Some of you are in ministry. You have struggled and struggled. It's not an issue of struggling. There is a consciousness. For as long as there are 8 billion people on earth, everybody will not tell God no. He can fish help for you from everywhere. There are some of you, the revelation for you should be that God is the one who gives you the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places. I am the Lord that teacheth thy hands to prosper. Harisalikaparia. I am the Lord that teacheth thy hands to prosper. You have to be taught. No, it's not your ability, you are taught. You just take a minute to meditate on this. Some of you, is that meditation that will cure you from curses forever. Raised up with him out of every tribe, out of every tongue, even the worship of the dead. Yes, people were buried in my village, but have been exalted. Exalted beyond every curse. Exalted beyond every charm. Any enchantment. For someone, the revelation for you is, no weapon formed against you, formed in the secret, formed by the conspiracy of men, no weapon fashioned against you shall prosper. For another, surely they shall gather, but because they are gathering of not of the Lord, they will scatter as much as they have gathered. They will come in one way and be dispersed in seven ways. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hear me. Psalm 119 from verse 97 to 99. Let's hurry up. Psalm 119:97-99. Meditation involves hearing. Meditation involves speaking. Meditation involves the power of your imagination. All of them have to come into play as you meditate. Oh, how I love thy law, he says. It is my meditation. How long? The psalmist, all the day, my meditation. Verse 98. Thou, through your commandment, has made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. Last verse. I have more understanding than my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. The secret to my conviction, my meditation, he's saying, or my persuasion, is that I have meditated on that reality. You see, one of the ways you meditate is to repeat thoughts again and again and again. It's a practice till today. Till today, I can play a teaching, play a message, play scriptures, play verses again and again. Sometimes I make declarations myself and record it. Prophetic declarations myself, and I put it on repeat while I sleep. There are times I want to focus on just two verses. I meditate on those two verses. I first quote them and then make prophetic declarations by myself. They're in my phone. And I play it on repeat. Whether I'm awake or sleeping. Sometimes I'm doing my study and they're playing. The goal is not awareness. I'm transporting it to a realm. When it lands that realm, I know that I'm ready for the next step. I've shared with you my story. When God moved us to Abuja, I was praying and trusting God for direction. And God told me, like he did Abraham, get the map of Abuja, get the map of Nigeria, get the map of Africa, get the map of the world. And he said, start praying with those maps. So every time I'm praying, I will place those maps, four of them. I still have them till today. And lay my hands. One day, something happened to me. I looked at the map of Abuja and it became small. Very small. The city just became, it's like it just shrunk and it became small. I knew a miracle had happened. I knew Koinonia was ready to start. Because that reality of territorial dominion for the sake of His Majesty, that's what happened. Hallelujah. But every once in a while, not every time, I revisit those maps again. And now that God is sending us to the nations, I carry that map of the world sometimes and I look at it. And I look at the continents from the eyes of the Creator, not from the eyes of an inhabitant. You can't see that far. But when you stand with the Creator's lens, you will see that there is no nation you cannot conquer. Men like John Knox saw this and they said, God, give me Scotland, not a community. Give me that territory. Listen, when you do this, you can see great things. You can put your businesses and say, by God's grace, I will have a global business for the kingdom. People will laugh at you. It's not an attack. It's a usual thing with men. Men are permitted to laugh until your result bail you out. Provided you have not produced result, don't be angry that men laugh and mock. Mockers are a natural pathway to greatness. If you don't find them, you're on the wrong path. Their presence validates that you might be doing something right. So you continue. But when you emerge, you get that thing to your consciousness, you will marvel and wonder at what happens to you. Hallelujah. My dear friend, Pastor Shola, when his church got burnt, we went for a conference in his church, and Pastor Poju said something, just a brief session before I came up to preach, and he said something within a few minutes, but it was such a profound blessing. He told the church then, he said, take away the memory from your mind of a burnt church and see a great church that God is building. As simple as that statement was, I said, this is it. The Spirit of God quickened that statement. While we look not at the things that are seen, you have been seeing your disappointment. Every time you look at your passport, you remember the visa you didn't get. You look at the situation and you see yourself as a beggar forever. You see yourself as a weak man of God in competition with other men of God or getting angry. That is the reason why it keeps you like that. You need to wipe that vision out of your mind. You must have control over your meditation. Finally, brethren, Philippians chapter 4, I believe, and verse 8, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, Koinonia, help me, think on these things. Anything that is outside this list, the Bible is giving you an advice that meditating on them is a risk to your destiny. Number three, manifesting spiritual realities. Can we continue? I want you to listen to point number three very carefully. Mix the truth you know with faith. Mix the truth you know with faith. Hebrews 4 and verse 2. Mix the truth you have found that has entered into your consciousness. Mix it with faith. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. What does it mean to mix? Combine. Combine your meditation with faith. What is faith? Your obedience. Your actions of obedience. Obedience to the conditions that connect to the promise. Every speaking of God I have taught you here has conditions connected to it. Listen carefully. The profit point of your Christian adventure is when you find the truth, meditate to create conviction, and then you engage, you mix with obedience, faith. Most people do not obey scripture. They want the results, but they are not willing to obey. To obey means you have to embrace the spirit of wisdom. What does the Bible say you should do that connects to the promise you are looking for? For instance, the Bible talks about laziness and begging, how that both of them are related. So when you meditate on the fact that the Bible says a diligent hand shall be made fat. Is that true? What is your point of obedience now? Whatsoever your hand findeth to do, that is in righteousness, you do as unto God. So you can go and get the job, even though it's just 40,000 or 50,000. You are obeying. You are working in keeping with the law of diligence. That there is a relationship between increase and diligence. There is he that scattereth and yet increaseth. There is he that withholdeth more than his meat and tends to poverty. Okay? What then is the action point there? That means I will give. Not out of compulsion or manipulation, but with the revelation that number one, I love Jesus, but that the law of increase is connected to giving. And then you do so, and it works for you. That's why I said obedience requires not just zeal, but the spirit of wisdom. You need to know what to do. Master, we have told all night. There are many, many people who are found wanting in the place of obedience. It's why they do not see promises manifest. Let me tell you the truth. As much as I sympathize with the many things happening around our nation, there are people, even if dollar were 1 naira to $1, they will still be poor. Because their problem is not Nigeria, nor whatever government is in power. I'm not a politician. There is an intrinsic determination to remain lazy. Huh? Jesus said, the poor you always have with you. Is your own responsibility to exempt yourself. There are people who are very lazy. There are others whose energy is not coordinated with wisdom. So there is blind dissipation of energy that is not constructive. This is what we call productivity. Channeling your energy with intelligence so that you produce specific outcomes. You don't waste energy and resources. Are we together?
Yes.
This can be true for ministry. As a man of God, you cannot sit down lazing around, being everywhere, talking, gossiping, jumping from pillar to post, and you want God to trust you with the destinies of many. You don't sit down to pray. You don't sit down to learn. You don't open up your heart to grow. God is not a scammer. He's not a fraudster. He's in a business of using serious people, not just available people. It's wonderful to be available, but you must also be usable. Are we learning now? So most of us have found wanting. Someone after this meeting, you need to get angry and tell yourself, this week I must start something. If a job does not come by the spirit of grace, I will read a book, I will watch something profitable online, I will get up and go and look for, there's a land that my brother has, I will start farming this week. Let me farm and fail, no problem. At the point of obedience, that's when the miracle comes. He told the 10 lepers, go and show yourself to the priest. The Bible says, as they went. Say, as they went. One more time, say, as they went. The miracle happens at the point of obedience, not before obedience. Maybe there are people here God has spoken to sow certain seeds. According to the revelation, and Isaac sowed in that land in the time of famine. And you are there giving flimsy excuses. Time will pass, the famine will finish, and you remain broke. When God put it in my heart to do some of the things we are doing now, I became excited because one, I love Jesus sincerely. Two, I love you with all my heart. Three, I love myself with all my heart. You see that? That in my obedience is my rising. I don't rise because I'm a man of God. I rise because I'm a practitioner of the truth of God's word. Koinonia, are we learning? Obedience. Provided you camp around disobedience, I guarantee you under God, there are certain realities you will never see manifest in your life. You can do eye service, but eventually your life will show that God has marked your script and has found you wanting. Are we learning now?
Yes.
Obedience. For some of you, your point of obedience can be to obtain the grace to start being diligent in consistent, fervent prayer. You are a man of God. You are trusting God for increase. Go back and settle down. Some of you are leaders that God has called. He's shown you that you are going to be a global leader. With the level of intellectual deficiency you have, it will be a risk for God to trust you at certain heights. Therefore, increase your capacity. Go and borrow vessels. If it means going to get certain certifications to add to your pedigree, your qualification, to give you that edge with respect to what he's called you, go for it. Lazing around and envying people in anger will not solve your problem. Are we together? Getting angry at another man's farm will not make your farm suddenly become green. You will sit down there while weed is growing on your own farm as you are pointing fingers on people who are plowing their farms with diligence. I don't like this family. I'm sure that they met witches and wizards to rise. The man returns late in the night, finds you sleeping, wakes up early in the morning, you are still sleeping, returns in the afternoon, finds you gossiping, and what a witch. Where is Oga? He's traveled. Where did he go to? He went for a seminar somewhere. As a director of a company? Yes, sir. And you sit down there playing something in the afternoon, sitting in the sun, arguing about Nigeria, arguing about Africa, and wondering why your store is empty. Next time you say, I will never be poor, the meaning of that is that I'm determined to do what will make me never to be poor. If you don't finish that statement, you lied. Are we together? Praise the name of the Lord. Faith. I release the grace for obedience upon you. Shout a believing amen. The grace to walk in keeping with the truths that commit God to perform on your behalf. May that grace be released upon you. If it is the giving grace, may it be released upon you. If it's the praying grace, may it be released upon you. If it's the fasting grace, may it be released upon you. If it's the grace for diligence, may it be released upon you. If it's the grace for value and productivity, may it be released upon you.
Oh, rest on me. Oh, rest on me. Oh, rest on me, Spirit of wisdom. Oh,
oh, rest on me. Oh, rest on me. Oh, rest on me,
Spirit of wisdom.
Rest on me.
Let me give you an advice. It's a loving advice. Stop complaining about what is not working. Bend your head down, obtain grace from God, and start exempting yourself through obedience. Let me speak to every young man here complaining about Nigeria and joining in all kinds of profitless debates will not define your reality. No, we don't shy away from what is happening, but let me challenge every responsible person in this ministry. From tomorrow, Monday, make up your mind, I'm not complaining again. If you don't know what to do, wake up and listen to all my teachings on productivity. Start from there. I shall not want. Listen to it. Huh? The power of productivity. Listen to it. Get working. And when people want to distract you and eat up your productivity, gently tell them, sorry, that's all right. We'll talk about it when I have a bit of free time. Today is Monday and you are busy already. Tell them, I came to church and I received an apostolic, a priestly, a fatherly counsel that complaining does not increase. It only brings people down. Are we together now? You settle down and begin to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Lord, I came from a family struggling. I make up my mind by grace that things will begin to change now. Some of you may need to go somewhere and say, you know what? Bring me as an apprentice in this company. I won't receive salary, but I will receive wisdom. I am tired of laziness. And they say, really? By the third day with favor on your life that you're about to receive, you'll be surprised what will happen. God will bring somebody there who will say, I'm looking for a well-behaved gentleman. And the director will say, everybody is busy. Only one guy who does not collect salary. Follow that white man. And that's the end of it. God begins to lift you. I forbid you from being lazy. Shout amen. Listen, anything you are doing now that you cannot give your all to, stop it immediately. I don't care what it is. Anything you are doing with part-time seriousness, leave it immediately. Look for what is worth giving your all. Are we together now? You will never find me putting my hands in many things. Because I commit my all in it. I rather do only two things in my life and plunge myself. If I perish, I perish mentality is the mentality of victors. Are we together? You are in a part club there. You have never attended the membership meeting. You are causing trouble for the people. You are a part worker in church. You are not serious. In your office, you are a ghost worker. In the house of God, you don't come. At home, you are not a serious husband or a serious wife or a serious child. So part commitment. I rebuke that spirit now. Yeah. The Bible says they followed him wholly. There must be something in your life that is worth the investment of your all. Anything you have to give only part of you to is not worth it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. When people bring visions for me to lay my hands on, I ask them, can you do this for the rest of your life? If they say, no, this is just for a while, I tell them, okay, while you are doing this, look for what is worth the commitment of your life and also be building it. Nothing wrong in doing things part way, but if that is all you do, you'll be disappointed. When I got into ministry, I knew that I will serve God till the day I see his face. There's no plan B. That bridge was burnt by myself. Show me a man that believes in what you are doing and you can push your all in it. I show you the person who will frustrate life and Satan forever till you emerge. Are we together? There are footballers who play football as a ministry. They train, they give their best. There are those who are just looking for money. Nobody invites them because their passion betrays them. There are business people who are out to add value before profit. They give their best. Even when the business is not profitable, they continue, because what drove them was not just profit, it was impact. So eventually God rewards them. But there are others who from day one, they are looking for money. So they compromise even at the detriment of their own integrity, provided money will come. There are people today who can do anything that you know, provided it will bring money. Anything. No, you cannot live like that. There are people who would do anything to make ministry work. Anything. And when I say anything, let's hurry up. Number four. What is the fourth key? Pay attention to this one. I sense that there will be a stirring in the spirit as I teach on this fourth one. Are you ready? The fourth key to manifesting spiritual realities: engage in spiritual warfare. Engage in spiritual warfare. You will never manifest anything from the spirit that carries weight without engaging in spiritual warfare. What is spiritual warfare? Establishing victory over spirits. Write it down, please. Establishing victory over spirits and conditions that fights the manifestation of the word in your life. Establishing victory over spirits and over conditions that fights the manifestation of the word in your life. In your life means in your ministry, in your home, in your business, in your sphere of influence. 1 Corinthians 16:9, spiritual warfare. My God, my dear people, believe this. There is a warfare dimension to transporting realities from the spirit to your realm. For a great door, let's read together, one to read. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me. And there are many adversaries. I've taught you here. For every door that is to be opened, there are adversaries. There are adversaries. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 18. Engage in spiritual warfare. Paul is speaking and he says, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, I tried and tried and tried, but Satan himself, not a demon spirit, hindered us. Satan still fights the manifestation. Listen, all unclean spirits are stubborn spirits. All demonic unclean spirits are stubborn spirits. Meaning, just because the word says they should obey does not mean they will obey. The same way the executive arm of a government, they pass a decree, but it does not mean defaulters will obey. They are aware. That is the reason why law enforcement agents are released. The basis for the function of law enforcement agents is what the executive has passed. Is that true? Or legislature, whatever it is. And then when it is past, they now catch you wanting, and the basis of their punishing you is to let you know you have defaulted an executive order somewhere. For instance, stay at home for sanitation. If you default and they catch you, they will tell you you are aware. Are you aware? Yes, sir. If you are fortunate, they pardon you. If you are not, they will find you and you will go to jail. That's how it is. When God says you are a blessing, Satan says, what did he say? No. We will fight it. They first come to you to find out whether you are aware and you believe. Then they find out whether it has become a reality in your consciousness. Then they find out whether you have obtained the grace to obey. If there is no point, they will attack you directly for no reason. The reason why Satan attacks primarily is because he is Antichrist and he's a thief that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. There's no point stealing, killing, and destruction until there is something to steal, something to kill, and something to destroy. Let me tell you the truth. The kind of warfare that you have to fight to birth prophecy to your life, it will take stamina in the spirit. Hallelujah. It is the reason why you see us pray. It is the reason why you see us engage. Behind the physical manifestations that you see, ladies and gentlemen, look at me. Do you know the warfare that Satan puts up just to get you to come here to hear what you are hearing now? You think the devil will leave you to come to your house just like that? But thank God for men and women who understand the art of the altar. Praying and saying, Lord, everyone who should come and hear this word, they will come by the Spirit. So even when your car does not work, just when you are getting offended, your neighbor says, I'm coming for Koinonia today, let's go. There's no excuse. It's not a coincidence. It was engineered by priesthood. Say spiritual warfare. A family that does not pray will become a victim of Satan. A couple that don't pray will be a victim of Satan. A mother that does not pray will have her children turn into armed robbers and all kinds of people. A father that does not pray is like a man who opened his gate and said, if you are a thief, just come in. You are welcome to this house. Because if your house is not a house of prayer, I have taught you, it becomes a den of robbers. A believer who does not pray, among many other disadvantages, you become a victim of the arrows that fly by day, the noisome pestilences, the destructions that waste in noonday. Someone shout minus me. Let the devil hear you. Oh, as the arrows fly from wherever. You know, there are all kinds of missile technologies today that the army uses, that sometimes when you fire a rocket against a nation, as they detect it, they counter it immediately. It's been programmed. It will explode that thing in the air there and then fire another rocket following the trajectory where that thing came from. Come on now. To backfire back to the place. As I said this thing, it just moved something in my spirit. Back to where it came from. Shalakaposia. Any man that programs anything against your life, in the name that is above all names, he returns back to that devil this night. He returns back to that devil that night. This concept of things backfiring happens. Oh, ask Haman. Haman dug a pit. He had sized Mordecai. This is how this guy will be hung there. I wonder how he felt when it was his time to hang. The Bible says, now the Lord of peace himself, is that in your Bible? That he will give you peace always and by all means. That means anybody that makes himself the trouble of your destiny, may the God of vengeance arise over them in this season. Anybody that has vowed that provided he's alive, your family will not laugh, your family will not smile, I say it again, by the God who sent me, let the sword of vengeance descend upon them this week. Descend upon them this week. Hallelujah. I was once told the story of a young lady, true story. I don't know, I think it happened I hope I get the whole story. It happened because of jealousy and envy, I think. Maybe some woman, I was told, stamped her feet and beat her chest in the front of the lady and said, provided she's alive, that girl will not go forward. It will only work if you have not met power. Did you hear what I said? I believe in power. Oh, I really believe in power. We are wasting the time of God's people without power. That collision from anywhere, while they make those enchantments while you are sleeping, this family should not rise. This family should not rise from nowhere, like thunder from heaven. Tabarus Kadiata, a power greater than all powers, descends from the realm of the spirit with a manifestation in the physical realm and will scatter every plotting of darkness. Hallelujah. It doesn't tire me to share our story when Koinonia started. I don't know who innocently decided to kill himself like that, that they brought charm and hung it outside. When they called my attention to it, in my mind, I said, who is this one now? Huh? You choose your battles with wisdom. You want to kill yourself for nothing? Abba. Even in, there's something called boxing. There's heavyweight. There's a, what's the other one? Middleweight. There's lightweight. It's unfair to join some people together. The person who is a lightweight champion, he's only a champion based on those he's fighting. There are people, when he joins, the way they will punch him once, he will not only fall, he will die. May you be a heavyweight in the spirit. I said, may you be a heavyweight in the spirit. Ta da 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 da. Do not let anything and any teaching, I say this with every sense of love, but with every sense of passion, do not let anybody make you downplay the relevance of spiritual warfare. If you believe that thing, you have destroyed your destiny. Now, with all you, I love the body of Christ, but I owe you to teach you. Huh? Yes. There is a warfare dimension to living. Some of you, this is where you are now in your destiny actualization. The attacks in your life don't have a reason. And if you keep quiet, say, who did I offend? Have you said that thing before? Hello? Let me answer that question. You don't have to offend anybody. Just be born. Who did Moses offend? Who did Jesus offend? Provided they were born. The moment there is a prophetic word over you, whether you invite the devil or not, he will say, we have heard that there is a man of God rising from this family. Where is he? We've heard that there is somebody who is going to carry the grace to take this family out of shame. Satan does not look for everybody. Everybody will be his victim. But depending on the urgency, there are people he knows. If I attack this man, is equivalent to attacking everybody in that family. So don't say, who did I offend? He will come knocking at your door. Hello, sir. I hear you are the firstborn in this family. I've come to destroy all the ladies, to destroy the man. Don't shut the door in fear. Open the door and tell him, all right, you will know that there are witnesses on earth. You carry the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation. Shakata barakosiata, empratoska da predeke berekatosia. Who art thou, mountain? Before Zerubbabel, before this family. Listen. How do you know that you are under attack? When the occurrences in your life do not match up, are we together, with the commitments of value and obedience you are bringing, mysterious things happening in your life, in 2 months, everything in your life disappeared. You lost your job, your wife lost her job, your child who does well in school, very brilliant child, he's returned with a result that is an evil report, and you are watching. No, sir. Wake that child up and say, this night, we are going to do vigil in this house. You carry your lantern, carry your Bible, share one scripture. If you don't know any scripture, look for our teachings, get one scripture from there. Lead your family to prayer. Tell them, pray after me. Father, they repeat, in the name of Jesus, as a family, we declare, no enchantment and no divination. Carry your CSC document from your business. Place it on the parlor there. Carry your child's whatever it is. Place it as a point of contact. In the name of Jesus, my child will not fail. He will not waste my money. Are we together now? 3 days in a row, you had a dream and you saw your wife dying. Call her. I'm not just your husband. I'm the priest of this house. Let me lay my hands on you. Shabakos ketabaratos yata. Listen, don't think I'm just acting. Do it. This is the responsibility of leadership. While the people are sleeping in your house, wake up and start walking to your parlor, to your bedroom. Your little son wakes up and he said, don't worry, boy, go and sleep. But if you want to learn, follow me, because one day you will learn too. Lay hands on everything in your house. You had a dream that your car crashed. In the name of Jesus, what God gives is for good. Every good and every perfect gift. God will not give me what to kill me. In the name that is above all. Are you hearing what I'm saying now? You are about to have a meeting with people and you know they are not born again. What makes you believe they will not tie charms or come with all kinds of things? You are a Christian, but they are not Christians. And someone comes to sit down. Spend the whole night enchanting your name. Send forces to your office before their arrival. By the time those forces are coming, they will see light and angels. They said the same way you were praying, he was praying too. Hallelujah. Come to Koinonia. Destroy apostle and destroy Koinonia. It's a joke. Before you rise, come on now. Before you rise, here comes that fire. The same fire we were furnished out of. The same fire that protected Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Is the same fire that can kill and destroy too. This world is not a gentle place of consensus. I know I'm just a kind person. If that is your philosophy, safe journey. Some of us have seen the cruelty of men and spirits enough. You don't fight out of anger and in foolishness. But the truth is that the whole world, he said, have respect for the covenant, O Lord, for the dark places of the earth are the habitations of cruelty. Respect your covenant. The dark places of the earth. The devil will kill you if he can. Did you hear what I said? He would destroy anything he can destroy. You give him access to your life, your children, he will tear you. He will use men, he will use systems, he will even use believers. You need to learn to be strong. I want you to take a minute, just take 1 minute and pray and declare, no weapon fashioned against me will prosper. Please open your mouth and pray. No weapon fashioned against me will prosper. Every tongue that rises against me will fall in judgment. Someone is praying. Parasavas kalabaranta keparasya. Krata kata bragata beleke paruska venda keperest. Krape kepere keperato sataketa. Pray over your business. Pray over your ministry. Pray over your influence. Pray over the purposes of God in the life of your children. Someone is praying. Shas kapelenta kepraska balakatos. Speak over your finances. No decline. In the name of Jesus, from glory to glory. Speak over your job. all the antagonisms around your office, surely they will gather, but by favor your God will scatter them. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Can I give you number five? Please sit down for a few minutes. So engage in warfare. Be a believer that prays. Not out of fear. The warfare of a believer is not fighting to win. It's establishing the victory through prayer. And the forces that have been made available for the believer. Establishing the victory that is in Christ against unclean spirits who manipulate systems and manipulate men. This is a twofold zone of operation of spirits. They manipulate systems and structures to work against the saints, and they manipulate the hearts of men. Number five, manifesting spiritual realities. Number one, contend for light. Number two, press into the realm of consciousness and conviction through meditation. Number three, mix the truth that you know with faith. Faith meaning obedience in all its ramifications. Obedience that commits the word. Number four, you engage in spiritual warfare, having the consciousness that there are demonical forces determined and assigned by hell to thwart the purposes of God in your life. Pay attention to number five. This is a very important component. Expect and prepare for the ministry of men. Expect and prepare for the ministry of men. Just write it down and I'll explain. How realities are manifest from the realm of the spirit to this physical realm. You must expect and you must prepare to receive the ministry of men.
Till the nations see Jesus. Till the nations see Jesus. Till the nations see Jesus lifted up, exalted. Till the nations see Jesus lifted up, glorified. I receive, I manifest your power and your wisdom. Till the nations see Jesus lifted up, I receive,
I manifest
your power and your wisdom. Till the nations see Jesus lifted up, glorified.
Write this down, please. The final manifestation of supernatural realities happens through the ministry of men. The final arrival or manifestation of spiritual realities happen through the ministry of men. I'm showing you the conversion systems in the spirit, how it leaves the realm of the spirit and finally arrives at your life. The final arrival or manifestation of supernatural realities, it happens through the ministry of men. John 5:7. Why are you in this condition? Jesus said, And he said, I have no man that when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. 1 Samuel chapter 10, 3 and 4. Prophet Samuel blesses Saul and says, then thou shalt go forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, and there thou shalt meet three men. Who will you meet? As proof that prophecy has come upon your life, you will meet men. Three men going up to God to Bethel, one carrying three goats or kids, and another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine. Verse 4. As a result, the men will salute you and give thee two loaves of bread. And when they give you, see it as God answering you. Thou shalt receive it from where? How do you receive what God gives you? From the hands of men. How do you receive what God gives you? From the hands of men. One more time. How do you receive what God gives you? From the hands of men. Keep that scripture there. I'll read it one more time. They will salute you because God has gone ahead of you. They will give you two loaves. I prophesied increase, I prophesied restoration, I prophesied favor. This is what he's saying. But as proof, you will not get it from me. I'm representing God. But go. As you go, keep watching out for men. Watch out for men. Every time you see men, remember what God told you. He said, because of what God told you, men will give you, receive it from their hands. Where is your job? The hands of men. Your promotion, the hands of men. That is the truth. Every $1, $1 that will come into your account today is not falling from heaven. It's currently in the hand of a man. My life changed when I found out that every man's destiny is as stunted and delayed as the arrival of the men sent from God to you. When God wants to help you, he accelerates the arrival of the men who have a role to play in your life. If Jesus never found John the Baptist, he would have remained there. For a long time, I thought that John the Baptist, the pregnancy of John the Baptist, was just a delay on Rebecca. Until God showed me from the lens of scripture, if John was born way ahead of Jesus, he would have been discouraged and he would have left that wilderness. He had to only be 6 months older than Jesus so that he will match the arrival of Jesus. If that guy was born before that time, he would have waited in the wilderness maybe for 10 years and would have said, you know what, this Jesus is not coming too. It is from that scripture I learned that all things work together. There are some things that God makes to happen at certain times so that it will coincide with prophecy and make for your lifting. You believe that? Shout amen. Amen. John chapter 6 from verse 5. The ministry of men. 6 from verse 5. Give it to us, media. Jesus lifted up his eyes. This is Jesus after one of his crusades. He saw a great company come to him. And he said to Philip, where are we going to buy bread? In fact, give me NIV, please. NIV. Let's work with NIV. So you understand what this scripture is saying. Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? Reading verse 6. He asked this only to test them, for he already knew how to convert those spiritual realities. You see that now? Jesus himself, he knew that those resources were available, but how it will now come and feed 5,000 people? 7. Philip answered, 8 months' wages will not buy enough bread to give each one a bite. 5,000 men, aside women and children. Verse 8. Another of his disciples called Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here is a young boy. Say amen. The miracle always happens when men show up. So that when you are praying, you will know how God answers prayer. He answers prayer by sending men. But you must know how to receive the men. Because there are some of you, like the believers that were praying for Peter. They were praying for Peter to arrive. When Peter arrived and he opened the door, they shut the door back and said he was his angel. You need to know how to receive the men God is sending to you. Here is a boy. Even though he's a boy, he's still a man. Some of you will reject him immediately and say he's just a boy. How about the slave girl who brought about the miracle of Naaman? When it has to do with the ministry of men, I'll be showing you a few things. You must sustain the discernment to look beyond the limitations of men. Sometimes the person that God will use to lift you will not be a CEO somewhere. It will be the cleaner in your house. He will say something. There is a miracle service somewhere. Oh, sir, can I ask for permission to miss Sunday? A miracle service where? A ministry called Koinonia. Say, ah, people have been telling me about that thing. Oh, that can be the Spirit of God moving. And you come and sit down outside, fire falls from heaven. And captivity of 100 years, 80 years, 30 years, just like that. And the moment you get healed and you get delivered, the boy says, I just got admission to move to a school somewhere. God brought that boy there as a destiny helper for your deliverance. Are we together? Back to that scripture, please. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 fish. But how far will they go among so many? Don't downplay what God can do with men. Jesus said, have the people sit down. You see where we got the formula for sharing our palliatives? From this scripture. I was discussing with the people when we were having a meeting, and I said, let's go to scripture. How did they share bread in the Bible? The first thing is to tell the people to sit down. Because when people stand, they don't listen. So tell them to sit down. If you are not going to sit down, the bread will not come to you. This is where we found it. And there was plenty of grass in that place. And the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Verse 11. Jesus took the loaves from the man. Watch this. He gave thanks. The supernatural aspect was done by Jesus. But then he now distributed it using men again. It was Jesus that gave thanks. But those who shared it were not angels. They were men. And as they were going sharing it, it was multiplying supernaturally. When you read down to verse 13, the Bible says, everyone ate, and he said, gather the crumbs. And they gathered, it was 12 baskets full, and he said, let nothing be wasted. Men can be used by God to take away waste from your life. It is men that are responsible for increase, but it is also men that are responsible for managing the increase so that there is no waste. When it had to do with getting the blessing, men came. Distributing the blessing, men were there. Managing the excesses of people when abundance comes is still men. The final arrival of spiritual realities is through the ministry of men. Watch this now. There are many dimensions of results and promises we seek. I listed a few here. Growth, financial increase, direction, healing, deliverance, get the teachings, jobs, promotions, marital settlement, fruitfulness, receiving the anointing, business expansion. I'll repeat it again for your sake. Growth, financial increase, direction in life and destiny, healing, deliverance, jobs, promotions, marital settlements, fruitfulness of all sorts, receiving the anointing, expansion in business, intellectual growth. All of these resources are men dependent. They are realities that are finished in the realm of the spirit, but they all depend on the ministry of men. I took out time to study from Genesis to Revelation the various manifestations of the supernatural to find out how many of them did not depend on men. And there were very few in the Bible. For instance, the original creation, a man did not play a role because a man was not even there. You see that now. Jesus or God visiting Solomon, there was no man there directly as we know. So there are a few miracles that were directly, it was God to men, but men did not midwife it. But most manifestations depended on men. Let me list a few for you. the multiplication of men across the earth through Adam and Eve. You find that in Genesis 3:20. He needed two men for multiplication to happen. Adam called his wife's name Eve. The Bible called her the mother of all living. The mother of all living. Preservation of the earth through the ark and through Noah. It happened through the man Noah. Without Noah, that preservation agenda would not have happened. How about bringing deliverance to Israel from Egypt? It happened through the man Joseph. How about manna falling from heaven? It was at the instance of a prophet called Moses. God used Moses to bring the manna from heaven. But when the manna fell, it was men that picked it to eat it. The manna did not jump into their mouth. Men still played roles. In 2 Kings chapter 6, 5 to 7, when the axe head floated, it took a man as a prophet called Elijah. And the Bible says that when he prophesied and the axe head floated in verse 6, he told them, he said, now that I brought it up, he said, pick it up. Verse 7. Therefore, he said, take it up. I have brought the miracle. The axe head is now floating, but it took a man to pick it up. If they left it, the miracle would not be complete. How about Samaria's supernatural deliverance from famine? It took the man, Elisha, by this time tomorrow. It took men, four lepers, that the Spirit of God moved upon them, right? And then it took men to pack those resources to Samaria to fulfill that prophetic word. How about the deliverance of Nineveh? It was through a man, Jonah. How about the birth of Jesus? A woman, Mary, turning water to wine. Jesus, the man, Mary, the woman. The disciples who were men who fetched the water and turned it to wine. How about the raising of Lazarus? Men, the man Jesus, and the men that rolled away the stone, and the men that loosed Lazarus to let him go. How about the feeding of the 5,000? We just read it. The young lad, Andrew, the disciples, Jesus. I'm showing you the ministry of men. How about the triumphant entry to Jerusalem? John, Luke chapter 19, 30 to 35. Just write it for reference. The triumphant entry. Go to a village and you will find a donkey that no man, not even the owners, had ridden upon. Lose it from a man, as a man, and bring it to a man called Jesus for his triumphant entry. When the owners asked in verse 33 and 34, said, the master has need of it. And he said, all right, fine, I give it to you. How about the burial of Jesus? The body of Jesus, like you have learned, was hanging on the cross. But redemption was not complete until a man had a role to play. Joseph of Arimathea used his influence as a man, used his virgin tomb as a wealthy man to bury Jesus, for the burial and the resurrection to happen. How about announcing his resurrection? John 20, 16 and 17. Mary of Magdala, we call her Mary Magdalene. Hallelujah. When she heard it, John 20, 16 and 17. Mary, she turned herself and said, Rabboni, which is to say master, verse 17. Jesus said, do not touch me, for I am not ascended to my father. But you, as a human, man, woman, go to my brethren and announce my resurrection to them. It took a man to announce the resurrection of Jesus. It's still taking men today. Men, preachers, evangelists, missionaries, apostles, prophets, to herald that resurrection. Receiving from men demands the following. Please write. Number one, you must know the value and the role of men in manifesting spiritual realities in your life. Receiving from men demands the following. Number one, you must know the value and the role of men in manifesting spiritual realities. Koinonia is excelling today, not just because God said so, but because of the ministry of faithful, loyal men, men in various ramifications. Number two, receiving from men demands that sometimes you may look beyond their frailties and limitations. It demands that you may look beyond their frailties and limitations. 2 Corinthians 4:7. There is this treasure in earthen vessels. Sometimes the man who holds the key to your destiny may be an angry person, an angry boss, a temperate person. He will insult you from head to toe before he approves a 1 week leave for you. It is amazing that sometimes you will think that because of these kinds of men, God should replace him and give others. And yet God does not. He will still keep his grace, his influence, his power with these men. Even though some of them are Cyruses, God will still leave it that way. Receiving from men demands the following. Number three, humility and adaptation. You want to receive from men as the final arrival point of spiritual realities. You must have humility and you must have the grace to adapt. I learned from Dr. Mike Murdock that adaptation is proof of honor. You must learn to adapt. There are men who have the power to help you, but they can make you sit in their office for 7 hours. You will be annoyed, you will be grumbling, you will be saying, "What is this? Who does this man think he is?" You leave the office and see. One recommendation can help you. Humble yourself and stay. They are not God, but they can be used by God. Sometimes we need to be careful. This issue of, are you God? I understand what you are saying. God can help people, but I'm showing you this system of conversion in the spirit. Don't fight men unnecessarily. You will lose at various fronts. Are we together? Humility and adaptation. There are times you need to just humble yourself. It's been 5 hours we kept you here. Sorry, we've been at a meeting. And while the devil wants to put offense in your heart, you say, "No, I know the value that this person's presence can bring." There are many people today whose 10 years would have been reduced to 1 day if only they adapt, they were able to adapt to the ministry of men. Hallelujah. Frailties and limitations. Then humility and adaptation. Humility and adaptation. Humility. Listen to me. Don't try to receive from men that have what you need at your own terms. It is pride. Are we together? You want a job, but you want it when you have the time. And you say, "This man is a CEO." Sometimes great people can even play with you and say, "When is your free time?" And instead of you to quickly say, no, sir, please, whatever time you give me." Say, since you have asked. And you don't know that question is the interview. That question, you see, is the interview. And you fail it woefully and go back calling it favor. Say, "Can you imagine? The man even asked me, just one question. How can a man hold? That means there's really something on my life." And they never call you again. Are we together? You shouted that you receive power and what? Wisdom. When you see great people, don't worship them, but don't trivialize the sacrifices that have brought them where they are. I leaned over in the living room in the afternoon, just relaxing and reflecting on the teaching, and I was just scrolling a few channels, and I stumbled across a channel that was showing, I think, the video, a documentary, some film that was acted on Baba Adeboye. And it caught my attention. I watched a few, but it really impacted me so much. When I got in later, when I got into the room, I was thinking, I said, "My God." I mean, you could sense the anointing from that movie. I said, "Look at such a great man." From the movie, I saw some of the challenges that man went through. And I said, today people will just get up and think he got there by luck. 85 years. Over how many years of serving the Lord? Listen, never downplay the sacrifices that brought glory to men. Your boss may be an angry man, but he was not promoted by luck. Are we together now? Yes. This man, who knows, is just lucky. The man even sounds like a dummy. Yet he was working in the civil service before you were born. What made the government or what made whoever to elevate him to that point? Believers always like to downplay the sacrifices of people. You see a great preacher and you say he's just lucky. It's an attitude of failures and losers. Nobody has sustainable result by mistake. I'm sharing with you irrefutable principles. Don't. The fathers of faith, my goodness. As I grow in ministry, and as God continues to do what he's doing in our lives around the world, I am humbled by the kind of stamina that these fathers had. Because many of them were pioneers of these realms. Remember my teaching, followers of them? Many of them were pioneers. Even though they had people before them, it was not in the manner and the fashion they followed. How did they survive the persecutions? How did they survive the things they had to endure, bringing them to that point of grace? Some of us got born again in their churches, their branches. How did they believe God to expand that far? So how do you trivialize that? A man who through his ministry like Reinhard Bonnke, over 100 million souls came to Jesus. 100 million recorded salvations, minus the ones that did not get documented. How do you casualize and trivialize such a ministry? And you've not even won 50 people, confirmed. Hallelujah. A great chain, maybe an eatery somewhere, and you enter the eatery and you say, these people, shame on them. I'm so disappointed. Look at the building, it's not even nice. The person who is speaking does not even have the money to finish the payment of the food he will eat. He's hoping that his friends will help them. And sometimes the owner comes and says, okay, good afternoon, can we help you? Are you the owner? Look, let me tell you, it's just because there's nowhere to... Respect greatness. Respect greatness. Greatness in ministry. Greatness in business. Greatness in governance. Respect greatness. It is one of the ways to receive from men. I will never dishonor true greatness when I see it. Because behind that crown, you have learned again and again here as scars, testaments of endurance. Testaments of endurance. Some of these great people may not be as smart as you think they are, but there is a covenant before God that has brought them to that point of grace. Do not ignore it. Do not ignore it. Do not ignore it. Hallelujah. I remember one day I was passing a particular state and they took me around and I saw a very large property in acres and they said it belonged to so-so-so ministry. And I just nodded my head. I said, these people again. You see this grace. Whereas someone can be struggling for one plot of land and never get it. And there are people who have a grace for territory. Every grace you ignore, you have shut the door to receiving it. Receiving from men demands humility and adaptation. Let me give you a final thought on the ministry of men. Receiving from men demands gratitude and honor. I will drum it to you, and you've heard countless testimonies here of the value of gratitude. Let me challenge you this week. Find something to tell any boss or any superior you have. If it's a gift, buy a gift and tell them thank you. Genuinely, don't do it pretentiously. Take this as a prophetic instruction. Go to your office tomorrow with a gift. Apostle, you are putting me in an... I hate that man. You will remain there. You want promotion. Humble yourself. Sir, thank you. This is a little token. I bought you a basket of oranges and this just to say thank you for all that you have done. Thank you for giving my sister a job. And the person laughs and said, I'm busy, we're in a meeting. That's all right, thank you, God bless you. And you say, you see, he didn't even acknowledge me. Don't worry. Do it. Go and tell your superior, thank you. Tell your spouse, thank you. Don't wait for a Valentine. Tell your spouse, thank you. Genuinely and sincerely, tell your children, tell your parents, tell your loved ones, tell anyone who has been a major contributor or can be used by God, a man of God who has impacted your life sincerely, tell them thank you. You can sow into their lives, do it. You can't sow into their lives, send a text with gratitude. Apostle say, I should thank you. Thank you for being one of the people who blessed me. He would delete it with anger and block your line. Say wisdom. Please shout it, Koinonia. Say wisdom. Don't do that. When you are appreciating people, don't compare them. Take out time to appreciate them uniquely for what they stand for. You do it and watch the testimonies that happen after this. And don't forget to tell God himself, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son, leaving your Spirit, your work on earth is done. When I meet with my leaders, I always start by telling them thank you. When I meet with the workers, I start by telling them thank you. Whether here, Canada, UK, US, doesn't matter. Thank you. You want to enjoy the ministry of men? Learn to say thank you. Don't just say thank you when you are given gifts. Even after that. I think there's a Yoruba strategy, let me borrow it now, where you say thank you the night and by the next day, you say thank you again. Powerful strategy. Double it even. Do your own for 3 days. Thank you. Then say thank you. Then say, I wish I didn't have to do this, but I'm too grateful to be silent. Thank you again, sir. Ah! Man says, who is this? This is my secretary. I found my secretary. No application. Thank you. They do an interview for you. When you are done, don't frown your face and say, are you done? They say, go. Thank you. I'm teaching you as simple as what I'm saying is. It has worked in my life like magic. Thank you. To God, thank you. To men, thank you. To those under, those who are your contemporaries, those above you. Receiving from men demands honor, demands gratitude. Those of you who are going to receive palliatives after service, I hope you will say thank you. Yeah, listen to me. The church is a place of training. If I don't say this, some of you, where's my own? You just carry it and turn. It doesn't hurt the giver. The giver gives because they are blessed. Thank you. Many Christians are very bad at saying thank you. Bad at communicating honor. Learn this as a principle. But just obey this prophetic instruction. Do it in your office this week. You have contemporaries. Order a meal for 3 or 5 of them who are in your office. Just go to work and drop the meals and say, I was in church and we were challenged to do this. And here are the meals for all of you. Don't choose the ones you like. Do it for everybody, including the one that fought you by the weekend. Do it. Some say, no. Who knows what they put in this? Don't worry. You just do it. Someone will sit down and look at you and say, this is it. This person, for doing this, it's not about the food. It's about the thoughtfulness. They will mark your kindness. The day you are in need, that's when you will know the value of men. Can I tell you? One of the ways you know that you have commanded the attention of men is that they will show up the day you need them. The day men you are in need and no man shows up, is a testament that you have ignored this. There are some of you, God forbid, not to make you sad, but if there is a bereavement in your family, or there's something you are sick, or some challenge, nobody shows up for you. Nobody. Your birthday, everybody forgets it because you spent your life closing the door through offense, through competition, through jealousy, through whatever it is. Nobody shows up for you. You're a preacher, nobody's there to help you. How are you? How is your health? How is that? No, you're not influencing anybody. Manifesting spiritual realities. We are here today because of God, but the final bus stop was the ministry of men. Whilst we are here, there is a team of faithful, able people scattered across the globe, preparing for our Sound of Revival conferences, laboring day and night, many of them following right now. Men, you are as powerful as the men that God brings around. If I'm not in Koinonia for 1 year, you will not stop being edified. The only thing you will miss is my unique contribution. But there are faithful men built by God, forged from the furnace, forged from fire. Men. Teaching at the school of ministry. Men. Able to do the things that we're doing for the kingdom. Men. There are tens of thousands of people following online now. Potentially hundreds of thousands and even millions will be listening to this message tonight and in the days to come. That is happening through the ministry of men. You've been seated, but there are wonderful people moving around doing this. There are security operatives all across this auditorium, securing lives, securing property. Men, in the multitude of men is a king's honor. I repeat, in the multitude of men, in the multitude of men, you are as powerful as the men that believe in you, not the few that do not believe in you. You are as powerful as the men. The reason why Zuckerberg is a billionaire today is because we believe in him and his vision enough to patronize that business perpetually till he scaled his business to a point of wealth. Your business is at the mercy of men, not just God alone. Your ministry is at the mercy of men. Ladies and gentlemen, you are not just here tonight because you believe in Jesus. You are also here because you believe in the vessel he's using. That's why you left your house. That's why our international guests travel from around the world literally every week. There are people coming from around the world every two weeks, every month at least, in this place right now. Don't tell me men do not matter. The final arrival point of everything that leaves heaven, it comes through men. Let me recap for one last time. The keys that transport realities from the spirit. Number one, contend for light. Number two, press into the realm of consciousness and conviction. And that happens through meditation. Number three, mix the truth you know with faith. Faith meaning obedience. Obedience in all its ramifications. Obedience as value. Obedience as wisdom. Number four, engage in spiritual warfare. The realm of the spirit controls the physical realm. When you settle things in the realm of the spirit of God can find free course through men, through systems and structures. Finally, expect and prepare for the ministry of men. Take it high for me. Your life is at the mercy of the man who chooses to partner with the realm of the spirit for your manifestation. When we call God Ebenezer, when we call him Jireh, when we call him all the names that we call him, it is because when he stretches his hands from heaven, his hand will enter through a man to finally reach to you. The person today who God will use to lift you financially is on earth. The person through whom God will anoint you and set you apart for an extraordinary ministry is already around. The destiny helper you have been praying for is not about to be born, is most likely born. God wants to bring glory through our lives. God wants to lift us and honor us. And God gave me an assignment to show you tonight how to manifest spiritual realities. This is how God helped this man standing before you. I read this from books. I listened to men who had capacity and results, and I'm glad I did listen. Ultimately, I listened to the word of God and to the voice of the Spirit. Today, look what God has done. It is to the glory of his name. It is the same. There is absolutely nothing the devil can do about it. These are irrefutable principles. As I saw the photos of some of the things that were putting together just to be a blessing to people, aside from, do you know that I was told the registrations for the agricultural project, we just wanted a few people, but there were about 5,000 plus applications. I said, my God, what do we do? For the support for businesses, we're about 4,000 people. What takes a man from nothing to where you can experience the help of God? We don't know everything. We don't have everything yet. But there are some things he has shown us mercy in. And out of the abundance of his help, I have brought you a strategy tonight. Are we together? You can convert everything in the spirit from prophecy and make it manifest. What you see today is not what you are trying to bring down from the spirit. It's what we brought down years ago. Tomorrow we'll show you what we are doing now. Because compared to where he's taking us, we're only a step out of the cave. Truly, till the nations see Jesus.
Be glorified. Be glorified. Hallelujah. Be glorified. Be glorified. Be glorified. Hallelujah. Be glorified.
Please rise up on your feet.
Be glorified, hallelujah,
be glorified.
Sing the South African version. One prayer on your part and then I speak over you. Father, everything you have declared in scripture, this is the season where I want to see it manifest in my life. Go ahead and obtain grace. Obtain grace to contend for light. Koinonia, you are praying. Obtain grace to contend for light. Obtain grace to rise through meditation to a realm that is beyond mental assent, a realm of conviction, persuasion, consciousness. Obtain grace to mix the things that you hear with faith, obedience, value, putting the word to work, satisfying the conditions that commit God to speak in your life. Obtain grace to engage in the place of prayer until you settle scores in the spirit. Word of the arsenals of darkness, mandated to fight your influence, your relevance, the purposes of God in your life. Come on, are you praying? Shalike barakatos kapraga barantos yata. Finally, pray for discernment to be able to engage with men. Destiny actualization is men dependent. Excelling in ministry is men dependent. excelling in business is man dependent. You are as powerful as the man God bring to your life. You are as mighty as the men that stand with you, stand for you, stand by you. Your company is as powerful as the men who need you, the men who patronize your products and services. As a man of God, you are as powerful and relevant as the men who are willing and open to receive of the grace of God and the spiritual value that is invested in your life. Don't downplay men. It is not good for a man that he should be alone. When you are alone with no men, your life is not good. Your ministry will not be good. Your business will not be good. Someone pray. Hallelujah. I'm about to speak over your life. The Bible says the Lord gave the word. He says, great was the company of them. The Lord gave the business idea. Great was the company of them. The Lord founded the ministry. Great was the company of them. The Lord brought the vision, brought the project. Great was the company of them that came to stand. In ancient times, if kings conquered a land, they would take the men. The men helped them to expand their influence. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm tempted to lead you to one prayer. Please, I'd like you to cry and say, Lord, this week, the men sent by God to make prophecy finally manifest, Lord, bring them by your mercy. Go ahead and pray. Bring them by your mercy. Bring them by your mercy. Bring them by your mercy. The men my business need, the men needed in my ministry, the men needed in my family, the men needed in my destiny, the men needed for my products, my services, the men needed for my vision. By your mercy, bring them. Bring them. They are on earth. They are around. They are willing to help. Bring them, oh God. The men needed to help me secure a visa. Bring them, oh God. The men needed to help me scale my education. Bring them. The men needed to help me with my housing issue. I need your help. Your house is a place of help. Send the help from his sanctuary. That happens through men. Come through for me. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my head. My God, let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Send men. Send voices that have the ears of my helpers. In Jesus' name I pray. I stretch my hands towards you in the name of Jesus. And I want you to receive this prophetic word. By the power that raised Christ from the dead, the grace that backs everything I have taught you today, that empowers you to walk in keeping and see it manifest, may that grace rest upon you. The grace to contend for light, receive it in Jesus' name. The grace that supplies the discipline to meditate until scriptures become spirit and life to you, receive it in the name of Jesus. The grace that empowers you to obey and to obey completely, receive it in the name of Jesus. The energizing of the spirit to contend in the place of prayer until you birth and manifest victories, I release that grace upon you. The grace that brings men, that draws men from all the 36 states in this nation, the continents, in the nations that make up this continent, and the continents of the earth, wherever your help is through men, may God gravitate it to your destiny. No more delay of prophecy over your life. Koinonia, hear me. No more delay of prophecy over your life. Let it manifest speedily. Speedily. Regardless the economic turmoil that is sweeping across the nations of the earth, I pray for you. The men who will put you in a position of advantage to be immune from this financial holocaust, may God send them to your life. The men who will announce what you carry, in the name of Jesus Christ, without struggle, God will bring them to your life. And I pray for you, anybody who has left your life by demonic manipulation, they should not have left. They were helpers, and the devil created a scenario and took them out of your life. I return them by prophecy to your life. I return them by prophecy to your destiny. In the name of Jesus Christ. Look at me, please. No Jesus, no life. No Jesus, no life. You reject Jesus, you reject life. You embrace Jesus, you embrace life. You embrace Jesus, you embrace continuity. You embrace lifting. You embrace deliverance. You embrace healing. You embrace exaltation. It is for this reason that Jesus gave his all and his everything. I'm praying for someone right now that you have never made a genuine decision for Jesus. Do not let us close this service without you running to Jesus. I'm going to count 1 to 5. Someone must have been impacted by this message and is saying, Apostle, I want to make this decision truly. For someone, you are saying, I want to rededicate my life to Jesus. I'm counting 1 to 5. Run. Pack your Bibles, your whatever it is, your bags, everything you came to church with. Don't allow anyone to come before you. Leave your seat and come. I'm counting 1 to 5. I'm running, I'm running, I'm running to the mercy seat. I'm running, I'm running. 2, are you coming? Come. Let's celebrate them as they come. If you know today that if Jesus comes, you are going to hell, come and join them. If you know today you are not sure of salvation, that if the trumpet sounds, you are going straight to hell, come and join them. Don't cheat your destiny and don't waste your destiny. Now, today is the day of salvation. The Bible is very clear as to that. Please come. Jesus is able to give you a new beginning. There's no point shying away. There's no point pretending. Not when love is around. Not when mercy is around. The Bible says to come boldly before the throne of grace. And for all who are following online, connecting from all our expressions, make sure that you open up your heart to receive salvation. It is a gift that is received by faith. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for coming. I salute your courage. It is a noble thing to make Jesus Lord of your life. The wisest decision that any man can make in this side of God's kingdom. You're joining them. Thank you, my sister. Please join them very quickly. If you're joining them, come quickly. I'm about to lead them to pray. Lift your right hand if you can, high above your head. Say this after me as loud as you can. Say, Lord Jesus. Say it again. Say, Lord Jesus. Tonight, I have heard your word. I love you with all my heart. I believe that you died for my sin. I believe that you rose again for my justification. Right now, I receive you into my heart as my Savior, my Lord, and my King. I declare that the power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over my life. From tonight and forever, I am a child of God, washed by the blood of the Lamb. I go forward ever and backward never.
Amen. Keep your hands lifted. Father, thank you for the gift of these precious ones who have come to the cross. I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit, based on the authority of Scripture, that your sins are forgiven. And in the name of Jesus, I call you this moment bona fide recipients of the life of God. I call you the righteousness of God in Christ, recipients of his life. The grace to live the victorious Christian life from tonight, let it be released upon you. In the name of Jesus, you go forward ever and backward never. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. Please let me request that you follow our counselors for just a minute or two. They are waving the placard. Let's appreciate them as they move. They will have a word with you very quickly for a minute or two, and then you return to your seat. Is this the best that you can do, Koinonia? Hallelujah. Thank you for your patience so far. We are fasting on Sunday next week. We're fasting. You can break anything. Children can break from 12 or 2. Adults, for the sake of, is maybe you can break, let's say, 3 or 4, because I know some persons, let's do 3, 4, because most people will be here already. So those who can stretch through, why not? So we're fasting. Don't forget the prayer points by Saturday night. Look to all our social media platforms. And make sure you connect to all our social media platforms. We ask you to connect because we're family. Keeps us connected. And then we continue to send all and any updates. So make sure if you're not connected to any of our social media platforms, connect and invite others to be part of it. And the Lord will bless you whilst you do that. So remember, we're fasting by night on Saturday. The prayer emphasis will be sent. And then you have the time to pray. And then come to church, invite as many people as you can to come and experience God. Have you been blessed tonight? Please go back and listen to this message again and share it with as many for their spiritual edification. Hallelujah. One more time, thank all of you who are here for the first time. Thank you very much for making the time. This is Koinonia, and the Lord will do you good even from tonight's meeting, and hence in Jesus' name. Let's share the grace together in fellowship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us now and forever. Amen. Surely, God's goodness and mercies follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. See you on Sunday.